There are still people in the hall, aren't there?
Yeah. But it is the individual screen.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good afternoon. I'm Don Moffitt, representative, co-chair of COGSA, here with co-chair Senator Donnie Trotter. Thank you all for being here. The meeting of the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability will now come to order. The Commission received notification from the Department of Natural Resources on June 3, 2015, stating their intention to close the Illinois State Museum as well as five associated facilities. As the Commission administers the State Facilities Closure Act, this meeting is being held today to hear testimony from the Department as well as other interested parties. At this hearing, as this hearing is subject matter only, no votes will be taken today. Another meeting will be scheduled at a future date to vote on the recommendations for closure. After we hear from the director and other elected officials, we will hear from all other parties that contacted the commission to be included on the agenda. We will be bringing people forward in groups of four or five, and we ask that you keep your remarks to 2 minutes. There will be a timer system that will change from a green light to a yellow light with 20 seconds remaining. Your time is up when the light changes to red. We ask that everyone observe that once we get into the witnesses that have registered. I believe we have 36 that had asked to speak after the director and some officials. We will begin with Director Rosenthal in just a moment, but I would ask that the secretary call the roll for COGSA at this point.
Representative Burt, Senator Kaler,
here.
Representative Moffitt,
here.
Senator Murphy, Representative Nekritz, Representative Poe,
here.
Representative Riley, Senator Rose, Senator Staines, Senator Severson, Senator Trotter,
here.
Senator Unis.
Here.
We have 7 in attendance.
Thank you. I would also mention that with the last count, there were about 50 people still out in the hallway. This is, of course, they can see this hearing on their own electronic devices. If you have given testimony or finished, as people leave, then more people will be allowed to come in. Our intent is if you came, we want to hear from you if you came with the intent of speaking, but of course those that have signed in and registered ahead of time will have that first opportunity. Also, we want to give leave for the press to be here to record, take pictures, and the media has that permission from COGSA to do that. With that, before we call on the director, Senator Trotter, any comments?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. If I may have leave of the body to read into the record a letter from the representative from the area, Sue Shear. The letter reads, Dear Senator Trotter and Representative Moffitt, please accept this letter as my submission of written testimony opposing Governor Rana's proposed closure of the Illinois State Museum, which is to be heard Monday, July 13th. There are tremendous financial and social costs involved with indefinitely closing the museum. The Illinois State Museum draws residents and visitors to both Springfield and the state of Illinois. The closure of this facility will hurt tourism and commerce, and thereby weaken the regional economy of central Illinois. Such a loss is compounded across Illinois by the closing of the four other state museums managed through the Department of Natural Resources. The Illinois State Museum had many successful partnerships within our community that will suffer if the museum is closed. The Illinois students will also suffer from the closure of this important landmark. The museum serves an important educational role for them, as many schools take field trips to the facility to view and learn about important artifacts from our state's history. Beyond a proposed closure, an indefinite shutdown could result in the loss of the museum's accreditation. This would hurt its reputation, prevent the receipt of grant money from the private sector in the future, and jeopardize academic research. Furthermore, closing the museum means that exhibits displaying the works of Illinois artists, including many student artists, will need to be removed. Returning these pieces to their owners will result in additional costs to the state. In May, lawmakers from both parties and the governor discussed the museum's importance at a ceremony dedicating it in honor of our colleague, Alan Dixon. Now, only 2 months later, it is concerning that we find ourselves needing to defend this valuable state resource. The Illinois State Museum should remain open because of the social and financial value it brings to our state. I ask that Cottrell review this and other testimony and see the cost of closing the Illinois State Museum certainly outweighs any marginal benefit. Sincerely, Sue Shear, State Representative, 96th District. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Trotter. In addition to the regular members of the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, I would also like to acknowledge Representative Tim Butler being here, who will have an opportunity to participate in the discussion like the other members. You will hear from Senator McGuire a little bit later as a witness. If other legislators do come, they certainly will be offered the opportunity to speak. Is here. Yeah. I believe Representative McCasey is also here and would have an opportunity to participate there, out there. Okay. If no others, I believe we're ready to be. And Senator Severson just walked in. Welcome, Senator. With that, again, those officials will have opportunity. Later, we'll get to the witnesses, limited to 2 minutes. We will begin with Director Wayne Rosenthal from the Department of Natural Resources. Director, welcome, and the ones you brought with you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. With me today is Chief of Staff for IDNR, Jason Heffley, and our Chief Financial Officer, Doug Florence. And as we said, I'm the Director of Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and first and foremost, I want to emphasize that no one likes to make cuts to programs and facilities, and IDNR has seen its share of cuts over the past 12 years. And we would prefer not to have to appear before you today, but as the governor noted in his veto message, the majority party leaders in the General Assembly have admitted that the General Assembly's fiscal year 16 budget passed at the end of May is unbalanced. The governor's Office of Management and Budget concurs in calculating that the budget the governor vetoed was approximately $4 billion out of balance. Some have said the museum's budget is a drop in the bucket and won't do much to help solve the deficit. The problem is, as you all know, is that there are many items in the state budget that are locked in by law, such as pensions, debt service, Medicaid rates, and payments to local governments. Consent decrees must be complied with for human services and public safety programs. The budget structure with items locked in statute greatly reduces available options to reduce spending to balance the budget. And while the museum budget may seem small at $6.29 million, its budget is one-sixth of the general revenue funds received by IDNR. As general revenue appropriations have been falling, the museum's share of IDNR's available general revenue fund has been rising. In 2002, it was 4% of our general revenue fund, and currently it's 16.1% of the general revenue fund for IDNR. Therefore, funding for the State Museum, which is an important cultural and historic asset of the state, is left exposed. I know you have a lot of questions about this process, so I'd like to address some of the frequently asked questions up front. Questions have been raised about IDNR's ability to close the museums by state statute. IDNR's legal department has looked at the issue closely and determined there is no state or federal statute that would prevent the closure of the museum to the public. I also understand that the museum donors are concerned about items in the state's care. The IDNR is committed throughout this process to be certain that collections are safely stored and that a small staff is kept on to maintain proper conditions for artifacts and artwork. The remaining staff also will provide access to Native American remains and artifacts as required by state and federal statute. Lastly, I want to acknowledge that I received a letter from the Commission dated June 30th that expressed concern that the State Museum branch was moving too quickly to cancel summer programming. The Illinois State Museum director made those changes without consulting IDNR, and immediately upon receiving this letter, I asked the director to restore canceled programs and cease any other closure actions prior to the Commission completing its work. These are challenging times for the state of Illinois, and we ask for your patience as we work through these financial crises so we can emerge stronger and better prepared for the future. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'll take those now.
Thank you, Director. We'll go to members of CAGFA for questions.
Okay.
Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Director. What kind of decision-making process did you go through? Did you actually consider the economic impact on the communities that are affected by these closures? And did you also consider what lost revenues or opportunities there might be because of the closures?
Those are all things we work with the Governor's Office of Management and Budget, and so we work through those with them. And even though that may be economic impact to the state, those are not funds that come into DNR, and they don't become part of our general revenue funds.
But the impact of money coming in that people bring with them when they're tourists to Illinois, support jobs, support local communities, support the tax base, et cetera, et cetera. So you can't really divorce that from...
Correct. And like I say, you know, we work with the Office of Management Budget, and when you look at all those things, we still have a $4 billion hole. We'd not like to be here, but somehow we have to figure out how to figure, working with the Governor's Office to fill that $4 billion deficit, unless they come up with a budget, in which case then we'd relook at everything.
So this is temporary in your estimation?
I would hope so.
Well, then what appears to me is that this is part of this circus around the budget that the governor has created.
Not if we don't end up with a balanced budget. If we still end up with a $4 billion hole, then, you know, these cuts are just part of the first 20% of the $4 billion. This, you know, we're talking about $800 million out of the $4 billion. So if we have to go through and if the unbalanced budget of $4 billion gets overridden, and we have to live with that, then we have to continue to make these cuts. But until we have the revenue and the appropriations, that's where we're at.
Well, I guess this just needs to be pointed out then. This is just part of the circus that's going on around the budget.
Does that conclude your comments, Senator Taylor? Representative Nekritz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a couple of us on CASPA who have been through a lot of facility closure hearings, and I have to say that the information put forth by DNR this time was pretty slim compared to the information we've gotten with the other facilities closures, and I don't know the reason for that, but I wanted to go through some of the statutory requirements mm-hmm. that I think you all are obligated under the Facility Closures Act to provide, and where I think we're still lacking information. The statute requires the total number of employees by site, which I think you did provide,
mm-hmm.
but then you're obligated under the statute to say what are the impacts on those employees, and you say that most, I think was the word that you used, will be laid off. Can you provide me some specifics on what most means?
If we go to a skeletal crew where we're just going to close it to the public and maintain the artifacts and artwork, we would be probably most likely looking at three individuals. So everyone else would be laid off.
Is that a total of three across all five
yes.
sites? Okay, yes. And would those three be in Springfield?
Would
you anticipate?
They would most likely be in Springfield and Dixon Mounds, because those are the three facilities that would require individuals there to maintain the climate control and the artifacts themselves. So it would be the Resource Center, the Illinois State Museum here in Springfield, and Dixon Mounds. The other three would not.
Okay. Then second, you know, the statute again requires that you provide the operating cost of the closing of the facilities and other budget impacts. And there's, to my understanding, there are lots of other budget impacts. We'd have the loss of any federal grants and other revenues that are flowing in as a result of the closure of those facilities. Did you detail that, any of that, in the information you provided?
No.
So I think that's something that,
okay.
that the commission
we can get that
have.
For
okay.
you.
That would be great. And then probably most distressing to me was the economic impact study. Again, when we've gotten this in the past, I think that the agency may have gone out and done and hired someone to actually do an economic impact study of what is the loss to the communities where the facility is mm-hmm. located. And in this case, I have to think with the tourism dollars and the lack of the ability to utilize the facilities for research, which they clearly have been based on a lot of comments that I read, the economic impact study seemed very, very slim to me. And so I would hope that, again, as we, as the commission goes through this process of making a decision, that we would be in a position to really understand what the economic impact is going to be to the communities where the museums are going to be closed. Was there a reason that you did not do more of an economic impact analysis?
Well, because we don't have those individuals to start with. And, you know, what we did is took the Office of Tourism numbers, which they say it has an impact of $17 million.
But I think that was only for Springfield.
Yes.
So there's four other facilities that are going to be impacted.
Yeah, and if you look at the number of visitors, those are minor compared to Springfield itself.
Well, I don't doubt that they're minor compared to Springfield, but they may be major for the communities,
sure,
in which they're located. I mean, I had the good fortune of riding down on the train with the mayor of Lockport, and
mm-hmm.
I think we'll hear from him, but this is a very significant part of his economic development for downtown Lockport, and I think that needs to be part of the consideration when we're looking, and again, it's all required under the statute to do a real economic analysis, which again, I don't feel like the department did in providing the commission the information that we need to make the kind of decision that I think that you would want us to,
okay,
to make. And then lastly, I think that the Facilities Closure Act requires a statement on the impact on state services. And you simply indicate that it will be closed to visitors, and say that you, and provide the number of visitors that will be at each site. Can you provide us a timeline on how some of those closures might be done in the layoffs, and what you anticipate in terms of the folks that will be retained to deal with the collections that we have? I mean, I just think, again, that's important information.
My understanding, going through the process, once you initiate it, it takes about 60 days to lay off the individual employees, going through the whole process.
And how does that impact the 1.5 million, that basic around numbers that you say you're going to?
The 1.5 million is what it would take to continue to operate the facilities.
Okay. So how would those layoffs and what you anticipate doing in order to be able to handle the collections and deal with those kinds of things, does it impact those?
Because the layoffs is what creates the savings of $4.8 million. The 1.6 is what it takes to continue to operate the facilities, maintain the temperature controls and the climate controls and everything else.
So would you say that the 1.5 million is adequate, or that those three people that you're going to be retaining, are those adequate to deal with all the collections?
Yes.
And all everything that's going to continue to,
correct,
be done at the museum?
Yes.
All right.
Well, we also have security contracts for the...
But those are not curators.
No.
Got it. Okay. So I took a glance through the comments, and again, having gone through a number of these hearings when we had hearings on closing some of the facilities for the developmentally disabled and prisons and so,
mm-hmm,
forth, there were actually some advocates for closing some of those facilities. And I didn't look through all 170 pages of comments, but I looked through about 110 of them. And I didn't see anybody supporting this closure. Are you aware of any groups or?
I don't think anybody questions the fact that the museums are important for educational purposes. Nobody questions that. It's the fact that we got a $4 billion hole, and we got to figure out how to fix it. And we're working with the Office of Management.
I think we have ideas on how to fix it. They just aren't very well received on the second floor.
Well, I can understand that. So we're working and doing our part in managing the revenue that we have available.
So here's just a comment on that, Director, is that I think that the Democrats have been very clear that we're willing to close that gap, but we need some help doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding is that the governor does not want to raise revenue. So this gap exists. I mean, you know, if he got his way, seems to me you would be doing this regardless of whether or not we appropriated the revenue to do it, because that is, I mean, I don't know how you close the gap that he has out there without raising revenue, and in which case you have to do a lot of these kinds of things, especially when we're raising, I mean, I support education, and I'm I guess I'm happy that we raised the money going to education, but maybe we could take a little bit out of that education money that we gave, that the governor wanted more money for education, and put it in here to provide for education so that we don't have all the other impacts that that are going to flow from closing these facilities. So just throw that out there as an idea. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Burke.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Director, some of the comments you've made have made it unclear to me whether the governor is trying to permanently close the museum or whether this is a temporary
measure. I expect it would be temporary whenever we had the revenues to reopen them. So when that is, I mean, your guess is as good as mine on that.
I don't know if hell freezes over is a date, according to what the governor's philosophy, but so let's walk through what a temporary closure would mean and what purpose it would serve. It seems to me that there's the artifacts and exhibits would just be cared for would ever see. Are there plans to sell?
No.
Or otherwise give away any of the artifacts and exhibits?
Other than return those that are requested to be returned.
And how many requests have you, the department received for the return of those?
None that I know of.
None at this point. And do you have any idea what the number of loaned artifacts is that might possibly be returned?
I do not.
Okay. Has there been any discussion between opening it and keeping it open with the current budget structure and closure? Are there not other avenues that you could explore, that the department could explore in order to increase revenue directly for the museum?
You know, when we passed the sustainability bill in 2012, we authorized the museum to charge. And obviously that was before I got there, and my understanding is that they were adamantly opposed to that, but I think going forward that would be one of the things that we'd have to look at. Based on their numbers of 200,000 visitors in Springfield, at $5 a head for adults, that would be $1 million that would bring in. So that would be something we'd have to look at and figure out if we could do that or not.
Some of the comments that I've received locally, even though I don't represent any of the areas, you know, that have facilities affected, but I've heard from people in my area that the museum provides very vital research to other smaller regional museums, and that if it were to close, it would have a very detrimental effect, especially on historical museums, local museums of that nature. What provisions would be made for that sort of community outreach?
As long as it's temporarily closed, none.
So let's say it's not.
Yeah, as long as we're just in a caretaker status, we wouldn't have the ability to do that.
So how do you think this is going to affect the state's the state and the facilities, the institution's credibility with donors, with grantors, with folks who might want to lend artifacts? If the people feel that you're playing games with the state's heritage?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
It just seems very short-sighted. I understand we're in a budget crunch, but it just seems that there are much more creative ways to help get the museum to where it needs to be than proposing a closure that may or may not apparently be temporary. And as you can see, there's many, many people who are interested in this issue. They're lined up outside, and I'm guessing just from the comments that I've read that they're all here in opposition. So I would urge the governor and the department to take a second look at whether they want to move forward on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Other members of the commission? Senator Severson.
Sure. Thank you, Director, for being here. I know it's difficult to be in that position to have to deal with this. And I too have been here for many years and have had to go through this before. And it is a difficult task that you and the other agencies are given, because if you have a gap of the size that we have, it's difficult. If we were to talk about closing DD facilities, or if we were talking about significant cuts to education or to health care, we would have this room filled as well. And so no one likes to have to go through that. But that's part of the problem that got us here, of 12 years of reckless spending, and now someone has to say, it has to be the adult and say, we have to pay our bills and we have to live within our means. So it is a difficult position that you're in. The legislature could certainly pass the revenue to cover this if they wanted to do that, but at this point they have not passed the revenue for that, and which they could, which would help close that gap. And it was to Senator Kayla's question a little bit about the economic impact. When you look at these, have we looked at the, even though the revenue doesn't come into yours, mm-hmm. into your department, we still look at the totality that we have to do when we do a budget, of looking at what is the revenue versus the cost. And when you do that analysis, even though there's a cost to collect the money coming in and administering it, but have we looked at what the net would be for the state of what potential revenue was lost versus what our potential savings would be, and then what that net would be?
Yeah, I don't think we've looked at that part of it as far as charging. Are you talking about in the museums?
Right.
No, we haven't.
What the revenue gain is versus even though
I would expect what I've understood is that it would cost about $150,000 to man that, to collect it. And so if you're looking at $1 million, then probably $850,000 plus. But that's assuming, the 200,000 visitors are all adults, because about half to two-thirds of those are school buses and school kids coming through for tours. So then you have to question whether that's really the total economic impact is the same for those 200,000 as it would be for 200,000 adults. So, that's part of economic development and their question and how they answer that. So,
well, and there's two questions we always look at. We look at the economic development side of it, but we also look at the quality of life side of it. And
sure.
So in a lot of decisions we make, it's not always based on the economic side of it. But clearly, when you're in a position where the budget isn't there and you have a significant hole, the problem is where do you get that? Nobody wants to have their agencies or their programs cut, and hopefully some agreements can be made on the reforms, and I think that I think most of the leaders have made notice that they were okay with the concept of putting revenues back in once the reforms get done. So I'm hoping this is going to be just a temporary closure as well, that we can find enough savings plus added revenue once the other reforms are implemented that could help put Illinois really back on track. That through this painful time, the goal is that a year from now we're going to look back and say, the worst is over and Illinois is now recovering at the same rate and the same as the other states around our state has done as well. So, and I'm looking forward to it. I think the future of Illinois is going to be bright, and while we've got this short hiccup that people should hang on, and now's not the time to leave Illinois because it's just getting exciting. So, but thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I know you're in a difficult position having to carry the water, but I appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Senator. Other members of the commission or legislators? Senator Trotter.
Thank you very much. Since everyone is stating their credentials, I too have been around here a couple of years and sadly have had to close other institutions as well. And also during my tenure, I've also had opportunity to work with a lot of budgets. And I know when you budget, as you normally look at things, in good times and bad times, you look at prioritizing. That's the key for doing things. So which leads up to my first question. How was this prioritized out? What other options were available to you to make this savings of approximately 6.2
million? Sure. One of the things we went through, and if you look at, we went from 137 million general revenue fund in 2002 to currently 39 million. We already went from 48 last year to 36 or 39 this year. We're looking at laying off 30 conservation officers, our conservation officers in the process. And so when we went to all our budget hearings, you know, we heard the concerns of the legislators and how important it was to have those. But if you look at what the museums cost to us, is at one time it was 4% of our overall budget, and right now it's 16.1%. And the simple fact is that if we're going to take money out of DNR, we've taken cuts across the board every place else the last 10 to 12 years, where the museum has continued to grow. And this, like I said earlier, this allowed them to become exposed because they're not generating revenue, and because they chose not to charge for entering the museums, and they continue to grow in that process. So it's quite simply one of the few places that we have left that we could cut in.
Knowing how these things work, everything's connected, and
sure.
I've learned, and the dollars that we spend on education certainly is well spent, because we know eventually these individuals will be part of our economy. So it does help our economy going forward, especially individuals who understand how Illinois became a great state and all of its different machinations going forward. So with that being said, we have a governor who did sign on to our education budget. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm certainly part of the mission of any museum is education, because that's what's there. So it seems like it would be the wrong thing to do to cut this leg off of that education stump that we're going forward. So in looking at this, and let's look at also what we're doing as far as saving money, because I, even though it's a $4 billion projected deficit that going forward, and I'm certainly not one to say that the 6.3 savings is no money, but when we look at what has to be done, tagging on to what Representative Nekritz was talking about, one, the employees. So we do these employees have any kind of bumping rights? Are any of them going to be retained anywhere, or are you just going to lay off?
In this case, no, because of the job descriptions and the fact that they are pretty much with the museums themselves. And so they don't have the ability to move within the agency someplace else.
So this is going to be another drag on the economy, because we're going to have now put literally 60 people out of work. But at the same time, you said with the maintenance of this is going to cost about $1.5 million. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the actual savings is about $4.88 million.
How did you come up with that number?
That is the personnel number. You know, when you look at what it costs to maintain it and take it from the overall budget.
So 60 people that is costing the state
$4.88 million.
But I'm talking about now the maintenance cost. You said the maintenance cost is going to be about $1.5 million.
Well, that's the infrastructure, you know, heating, cooling, all the infrastructure along with it, and then the individuals that are there to maintain it.
And what I heard there also is going to have to be something done with the artifacts themselves if people do get them. With the three people that are employed that you're going to retain, are they in fact going to have to also do the shipping? So
if we had to ship them back, that would be done in the 60 days prior to those people being terminated. In that time frame when we say, yes, this is where we're going to go forward, and they would have up until the date that they are terminated to complete those shipping things.
Well, suppose I had artifacts over
sure.
to them, and I didn't know about this until 60 days from now. How do I get my stuff back if it's 90 days from now?
I would think
if it's going to be a long-term closure, I'm certain people who were hoping that it was temporary, now that it's 6 months into this closure, they're saying, hey, I now live in Florida. I can ship my stuff down here, and it'll have a value to it because people will be using it and learning from it. So how do they get that done with three individuals employed? I'm just trying to see, how did you come, what was your methodology of coming up that you only need three people?
Because it's just for the maintenance of the facilities themselves.
These are three guards, besides the security. I think you said security.
Well, the security, we got contract security. But these would be people that, one of them most likely would be a maintenance individual that could maintain the environment, you know, the heating and air conditioning at the facilities, because that's one of the things that's important to maintain the artifacts. The other two would be individuals that could process artifacts in and out. But if you had something and you wanted it back within that 60 days, that would be the director's, the museum director's responsibility to notify you that this was going to be happening. So,
but I'm saying past 60 days.
Yeah.
You know, what happens after 60
days? It would just take time.
It would take time.
Yes.
That these things, what about these old artifacts? I understand that there's some Native American mm-hmm. artifacts involved. We're not just talking about things that are already in a box somewhere, but maybe we are talking about some things that are in that rotating.
Yeah, the simple fact is we wouldn't be able to be as responsive with two people as we are with 60. It's not that we couldn't fulfill those obligations, it's just we couldn't do it as quickly.
Do it as quick. 60 and 2, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Still not clear on the methodology of how you came up with that number of 1.5 to basically secure. Was that six different sites? How many sites are being proposed?
Primarily three sites to maintain.
Primarily. Secondarily, how many are on this?
Well, the other sites would either be totally closed because they don't have any, and the artifacts would be moved, or they would be transferred to somebody else's responsibility.
Who is that somebody else?
Well, like in Rend Lake's case, Rend Lake is said that they would like to take that over.
Who?
Rend Lake.
Oh, Rend Lake.
Rend Lake.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, those options are out there if somebody else would like to take them over. But those are things we have to look at down the road.
But shouldn't that have been looked at as you filed for this closure? Aren't these the things
but these,
that you're
these,
supposed to anticipate before those, you ask to close? And put lives and also put our historical structure.
If you look, those three facilities all have less than 10 employees and would not even come before this
commission. Well, I wasn't looking. That's why
yeah.
I'm asking you. I haven't been.
So they would not come before this commission.
Okay. They wouldn't have to.
No.
Okay. Got a couple more for you. Okay. It has been asked, what about accreditation? Mm-hmm. How does this impact you, seeing that that's someone else's decision of how do we get back on the good footing of being respectable with this kind of closure? What kind of thought process has gone into that?
Well, we realize that we risk the fact that we can lose accreditation. That's one of the points that they brought up. But then we could also regain the accreditation also.
How do we do that? I mean, I'm just saying,
that's a process that they have to go through on the museum
look,
side.
I'm
not an expert on that.
Since the agency, unfortunately, and it happened, jumped the gun and telling everyone that you were closing, I'm just trying to see how you thought this through and where are you in that thought process now?
Well, currently the accreditation goes through 2015. It goes through the whole year.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's calendar year.
Calendar year. And then it must be renewed every 10 years.
Okay. At what cost?
$4,500.
$4,500. Okay. Okay. You can finish. So what else? Who else are we answerable to? I don't want to say answerable as far as, you know, accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
Units, are there any federal dollars involved in this? I mean, what are we not, besides coming to us, what is the process of closing this facility down. It's the arbitrary decision of the governor because he feels that this.
I think there's some federal grants that we would continue to complete our obligations, but once those are completed, then we'd be done with federal.
How do we complete them? I don't understand because you're going to be closing. So how do we complete
them? Those are a lot of in those instances. Those are individuals that are working on those grants, so that we would have the two or three people there to oversee that. So it would be there available for them.
These are going to be some hard working and some done.
Yeah. No, nobody said it was going to be easy.
Yeah. So as it, is it anticipated, or have you anticipated in your conversations with Gombe, that if this goes back online, what is the procedure of ramping back up, and when do you reach that point that you've been shut down for so long that it's going to be so cost prohibitive to ramp back up?
Well, I think the ramp back up is the fact that we would be open to the public again. Right now, we're just being closed to the public.
Okay. All right. So there'll be other questions that
sure.
come forward, Mr. Chairman. Right now, I guess I'm just a little confused of how this is supposed to work with these three employees. So as of what date? The day that we give you... agree or don't agree,
mm-hmm.
assuming that it's an agreement, that from that day, so you have 60 days then to, you keep shaking your head, so I don't know. Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know. Just you wanted to make a comment?
Well, no, I mean, I think this is non-binding, so the closure would go whenever the layoff notice is moved.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
The 60 days is starts when we send out layoff notices.
Okay.
So whenever that is, it depends on when HR sends it out. But those are all things dictated by our union contracts. And so when the 60 days is the start of, but that's whenever we send out the notices. So it won't start before then.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'll wait till we hear from you.
Thank you, Senator. Now I'd like to call on Representative Yunus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, a few moments ago you brought up the comment that this commission alluded to, this commission only gives a recommendation of employees over 25.
Over 10. 25? Okay, over 25.
And so in your letter that you submitted to the commission, you referenced six facilities.
Correct.
But only one of those has over 25 employees.
Correct.
Is that because it's all under the umbrella? So is one vote, are we voting on all of them? Or is it your understanding that we're just voting on one?
My understanding would you be voting on the Illinois State Museum itself? Because the others we could do without going through this process, independent.
What would happen to the others if the State Museum closed?
That they would close also.
So it's not independent.
Well, we could actually close them if we keep the Illinois State Museum open, independently, because they are under the 25 without becoming. Before this commission.
And so you also made reference of, you said when layoff notices go out, is that something that is imminent?
No, that would not be until we would get the recommendation one way or the other and the go-ahead. But
as you just said, this commission won't make a recommendation on the other five facilities.
Correct.
So are there going to be layoff notices going out?
We haven't determined that at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other legislators with questions? If not, I had a number of questions, many of which have been answered, but those that haven't, and I may just didn't get it, need a clarification. Director, thank you very much for being here. I appreciate your frankness, your directness, and your willingness to be here and answer questions. If you could, and if not this time, in the future, get it to us, if we could get a real grasp on how much it would say things improve.
Mm-hmm.
We hope they do. We want them to. If this is closed and then we get to the point it could be reopened, if you could give us a handle on how much it would cost to get back up to where we are. And if you don't have that today, that's fine. But I would like that in the future.
We'd have to get that for you.
Okay, I'd appreciate that. And I think a number of comments have been made here, and I think you're receptive to it, to looking at ways to increase revenue to the museum, to the department, to make it come closer to being self-supporting.
Correct.
And if not today, I hope you might come back with some recommendations there that we could take a look at, you know, with the objective of keeping it open. One of the questions is on how many visitors. It's just under 200,000. And you have factored in the loss of sales tax to the community, or maybe we'll hear that from another panel, if we do not have the museum open, lose some of the tourism draw, there would be potentially a loss of economic impact. Has that been factored in at all?
We haven't. We don't have those are not our numbers. Those are from the Bureau of Tourism, so no,
okay.
They haven't been factored
in. I would appreciate being able to get a handle on that. In some of the artifacts, different things that might have to be returned or sent elsewhere, do we know when better days are here and we can be back up to where we are and have it operating if it were to close, will we be able to get those things back?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think you, well, I guess you did in part. One question was how the State Museum was selected, but I think obviously part of it's just on the sheer volume, the size, the percent of a budget would take. Is there anything else you can add to how it was selected versus any other?
It's just a simple fact that we also had other, you know, our total is that we're already down $6 million. The museum's GRF appropriation has continued to be unchanged and actually has went up. The other cuts that we're faced is land management is down $2.58 million. That's parks. The resource conservation was reduced from 2.1 to zero, and that runs primarily on other state funds, hunting and license fees that we get. So that we cut out our general revenue fund part of the resource conservation. Law enforcement, as I said earlier, is down $2.8 million. Water resources is down $1 million. Realty and environmental is down $738,000, and other offices are down $195,000. Part of it is that we also saw an increase of $3.5 million in oil and gas in order to process all the permits that were backlogged previously. So the question is, we could, if the museum's charged a fee, we could regain part of that revenue loss.
And you're willing to take a look at that?
Yes, we'd like to.
Okay. One other area I emphasize. I mean, how long have you been director? How many weeks?
5 months now.
5 months. Not directed at you at all or the current administration, but many of our great sites, whether it be museums, whether it be historic sites, but state agents, state property, state facilities, sometimes I think maybe they're the best kept secret. If in terms of how well we market them, it's not very good in many cases.
Yeah, I think that's the same for any of our, we got a lot of opportunities throughout the state,
right,
regardless of where it is, and we need to get the word out.
We need to do a better job of promoting this great jewel right here in Springfield, Illinois, to along with Bishop Hill in Henry County and Carl Sandburg Birthplace,
yeah.
And, but all the facilities. And if we need some help to do that, then let's do it. But it's almost like we know how good it is, but let's make sure other people do too, to increase that revenue, to increase tourism coming to the communities where these facilities are. And if we end up looking at a very modest admission fee and can get more people there, I mean, there's some of the revenue that I hope we can go for. So, yeah, and I'd like to turn it back to Senator Trotter.
Just one more question.
Yes,
that was related to that. You just tallied off several reductions,
sure,
that you're going to make. But what you didn't tell us is what percentage is that of their budget, of your budget. So is it $1 million out of $10 million or what? Because what you're doing here,
you're
basically shutting this program down. So did you shut any other programs down, and could you have taken a bigger percentage out of these others and keep this one?
Let's see, which one is it?
They have other revenues, 35% of our CPOs.
Yeah, you know, we cut 35% of the CPOs, like I said, $2.8 million. That's 35%. In forestry, we eliminated that altogether. I mean, eliminated.
How much is that?
100%. When you eliminate it, it's 2.1 million.
Okay.
So we zeroed that out. Sparta's going to close, and they're going to have more visitors in August than what the museums have in all year. But we're going to close that also. I mean, those are things that we're going forward. These are all the challenges that we face, and we're trying to figure out what we can do with the resources that we have available.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to figure out as
sure.
Well. Trying to see what it is, or are these retaliatory type of tactics? You know, we have this little unscientific, we're called fetchums. Is this
mm-hmm.
just to get us to the table? Because it's just so ridiculous that it has to be addressed. So like Sparta, we just made a huge investment in Sparta,
sure.
And to close those kinds of things down just goes beyond reasoning. So as this particular project just doesn't fit into that $4 billion hole that we're looking at. But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I'd like to recognize Representative Nekritz for some additional questions or comments.
The numbers that you cite, I'm confused because we don't have a budget. So what are they cut from?
That's based on the proposed budget. And the same thing, that's based on the $36 billion budget that's proposed.
The budget that was passed by the legislature or the governor's proposed budget?
Governor's proposed budget.
Okay.
Which for us is similar.
Okay.
It's still $39 million in either one. So it doesn't matter which budget you're talking about, really, in this case.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any other legislators with questions or comments? Director, I think in recent years, and not to pit one agency against another, but it seems like DNR has taken some very significant hits over the course of several years.
We went from $167 million general revenue fund in 2002 to the $39 million, so I would say that's a big hit.
And that's probably, as a percent, would be one of the biggest hits of any agency, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. If there are... Representative Nekritz, did you have something else?
I thought someone just accused us of overspending during that same period of time. I was a little confused by the reduction in those numbers. Thank you.
Well, they came down in our agency, but not in others.
If there are no other questions from the legislators in attendance, we want to thank Director Rosenthal for being here, as well as his staff, and that would complete State of Illinois executive branch officials. Thank you for being here, and we will now call up a panel of elected officials. Thank you, Director. And your Director, if you could stay for a little while in case some additional questions come up, we'd appreciate it. And listed on our next panel, we have Senator McGuire. Senator, welcome. We have Representative Emily McCasey, Welcome, Representative. Mayor Jim Langfelder, Mayor of City of Springfield. And John King, Mayor. Maybe are these all here, or maybe it'd be better? Oh, okay. We have slight change. Is that okay? Okay.
Mayor Steve Streit with the City of Lockport.
Okay, they will all be given an opportunity and a slight change from what the printed agenda was. So, Senator and Representative, if you would like to lead off, and then you can introduce those that you have asked to come or that are with you on your panel. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chairman Moffitt, Chairman Trotter, other members of the Commission. I appreciate the opportunity to express my opposition to the closing of the Illinois State Museum System. Rarely is something essential a bargain, but the Illinois State Museum system truly is both essential and a bargain. The Illinois State Museum is the repository, of course, of our state's heritage from time immemorial. The State Museum's holdings are unique, they're irreplaceable, they're the stuff of ongoing research and education, and they're already paid for. This might seem evident, but I don't think this fact can be overstated, that the Native American artifacts and the fossils and the flora and the fauna and the other treasures, which comprise this collection of over 13.5 million items, they're already in hand, they're already cataloged, they're already available for exhibit. So the question before you, of course, is whether current and future residents of Illinois and visitors to our state will have the opportunity to view and study this superb collection. Locking the doors of the Illinois State Museum system means the opportunity to understand from where Illinois has come is lost, along with, of course, the opportunity to use that knowledge to help guide our future. There are reasons why history is a required subject in Illinois schools, and at the Illinois State Museum, Illinois history comes alive. Closing our state's museums also will damage our state economically. The city of Lockport, which I am proud to represent, is home to one of the five branches of the Illinois State Museum. It's called the Lockport Gallery. Lockport is not a haphazard location for this branch of the Illinois State Museum. Lockport was the construction headquarters of the I&M Canal, the commercial waterway so dear to Abraham Lincoln's heart, the canal which is regarded by historians as the second most significant canal ever built in the United States. The Lockport Gallery, in fact, is located in the Norton Building, constructed in 1850 of local limestone, just steps away from the I&M Canal. Now, I know Lockport. It's my mother's hometown. My grandfather and great-grandfather both worked at the Texaco Refinery, which for 70 years was the largest employer in Lockport. The refinery closed in 1981. That started an unfortunate decline in Lockport. Empty storefronts blighted downtown, and the tax base withered. But the Lockport Gallery of the Illinois State Museum has become a linchpin in downtown Lockport's revitalization. The city and private donors have contributed to improvements at the Lockport Gallery site. Private investment to the museum, to the area surrounding the museum, is not a pipe dream, it's a reality, and Mayor Streit will detail this. The Illinois State Museum Lockport Gallery is a genuine partnership between the city, the state, and the private sector. And again, it's garnering tangible dividends for the city of Lockport as well as the state of Illinois. Like you, I spent a lot of time in this room as a member of one of the Senate's appropriations committees. I'm acutely aware of our state's challenging financial situation, but I have no doubt that by our four legislative caucuses working together along with the governor, we can secure the $6 million needed to continue to operate the Illinois State Museum system. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Casey.
Thank you so very much, Chairman Moffitt, Chairman Trotter. To all of the members of the Commission, thank you for your service. Thank you for your thoughtful comments and attention this afternoon as well. I am also here to express my opposition to the proposal to close the Illinois State Museum, all of its campuses, but most importantly, the Lockport Gallery. Before I speak more specifically about the Lockport Gallery, I want to speak to you as a legislator mother about the Illinois State Museum facility right here on the Capitol Complex. Many of you know that my daughter, Claire, who is going to be 2 years old this fall, travels here to Springfield with me for session. Every week, sometimes more than one time a week, sometimes more than once in a day, Claire spends time at the Illinois State Museum. She enjoys the Play Museum. It is a wonderful place for her as well as for other children here in our state, in the Springfield community, as well as people that are visiting this area to have an opportunity to explore and to learn and to really grow. And so personally, I implore you to consider all of the children like Claire that will be impacted here in Springfield, but also the children in our Lockport community who benefit so very much from the Lockport Gallery. I'm going to kind of change hats a little bit here. So some of you may know that for 13 of the past 15 years, I lived 2.5 blocks away from the Illinois State Museum Lockport Gallery. And as a legislator, as a former educator, as a parent, I can tell you how important this facility is in the downtown Lockport community. The Illinois State Museum Gallery is, as Senator McGuire told you, it is located in the historic Norton Building in our downtown area. It is part of a broader museum campus that includes another building parallel to it along the Illinois and Michigan Canal, the Gaylord Building. It is a building that is so architecturally significant, it's on the National Register of Historic Places. About a half a mile to the north is the Heritage Village, a newly developed historic site in conjunction with the city and the Will County Historical Society. And just about two blocks to the north as well is a site of the Will County Historical Society, their museum. This piece, the Lockport Gallery, is integral to our community as well as to our broader region and to the education of students in the region. So to that, when I was an educator and a resident, I've had the opportunity to enjoy the Lockport Gallery on so many different occasions, whether at the gallery for special events, visiting different exhibitions, or oftentimes just walking my dog along the Illinois and Michigan Canal and peering through the windows to see what sort of great exhibition was at the gallery at that time. And it's for that reason that several years ago when I was teaching 8th grade world history, I ended up bringing students on a field trip. I was walking Riley one afternoon, and I could see through the window the museum's director unpacking African artifacts. And I taught a unit on African history at that point in time, went in, visited the exhibition, came to realize that although in the Chicago area we certainly had world-class museums, that this particular exhibition far surpassed anything that my students would have the opportunity to view in the city of Chicago. So as a teacher, I brought field trips, two groups of students over two different days, and I know that their education was enhanced by their opportunity to visit the museum. As a representative, I've had the opportunity to host a meeting of an education advisory committee that I have. And it was my intention to bring educators into the museum to make sure that they knew about it. I was so surprised and delighted that of the superintendents that were in attendance, every single one of them had student groups that came through on field trips. In fact, in 2014, 1,328 of our local students came to the gallery. Gallery experiences, gallery field trips, are not just an opportunity for students to walk through the space, but they are truly engaging, where our wonderful professional staff tours with the students, explains what it is that they are viewing, explains what the significance is, and makes this a very, very beneficial experience. So beyond students in the area, other segments of our population certainly benefit from the gallery as well. I know seniors who are members of the gallery and love to come to gallery talks. I recently had a conversation with someone who told me that it's just amazing, such a unique opportunity to be at the gallery and to talk to the real artists about the work that they have created that hangs on the walls. So Lockport will lose a cultural opportunity that benefits residents locally as well as throughout the region. Additionally, there is a significant economic impact. Within walking distance of the gallery are several shops and restaurants. It's not uncommon for people to visit the gallery and then to go into our local restaurants or the local quilt store. One other thing that I would mention with regard to the site is that is the accessibility of the site. So there is a parking lot right out front. The city actually just made some major improvements there. But it's very, very convenient parking and very convenient for persons with disabilities. So whereas we are in a region with wonderful museums, sometimes it's not very easy to access them if you're elderly or have some sort of a disability. Am I hitting my time?
Your enthusiasm is contagious, and I know you're speaking also on behalf of Claire.
Which is very important.
Yes. But if you would bring your comments to a close.
So I would just make one final comment that my understanding is that the total operating costs of the gallery are about $190,000 total. $190,000. It's also my understanding that there are staff members of the administration who earn a salary that is more than that total operating cost. So I think that speaks volumes as to really that this is a very, very important resource in our local community. I think that that I would implore you to keep it open and express my opposition. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Then I believe we have two mayors, is that right,
yes,
on the panel. If you would introduce yourselves, and we appreciate you taking time. And again, for the sake of everyone that still wants to testify, keep it as brief as possible. Thank you.
Yes, I'll try to do that. My name is Stephen Streit. I'm the mayor of the city of Lockport. I want to thank the council for allowing me to come up here and testify. Quite frankly, I'm not even sure why I should be here anymore. After listening to the director from IDNR, it sounds like the satellite campuses are going to be at his discretion, not yours. So if he's still here, I hope so, hasn't left to get a horseshoe, I'd like to really direct these comments to him. I know a lot of times, oh, by the way, the
Mayor, I want to say the director came here and was very forthright with us, and I appreciate him coming, and he's even stayed here to continue to be available. So I really,
my apologies,
really
for
appreciate
being
that. Thank you.
By the way, my comments are with this packet that I dropped off. I know a lot of times, as I'm a trained artist, I went to the School of the Art Institute, probably not your typical background for mayor, but I get it. And I understand also that a lot of times people just see museums as a pretty face. I want to, my testimony here is to say, for me in Lockport, it's very different. When I came on to be mayor, I had a very tired downtown with a lot of burned out buildings that needed to get redeveloped. It had been that way for 25 years. So when I came on board, I needed to play to our strengths. Our strengths are, as Emily pointed out, the Illinois State Museum campus, which is in town. So I made sure that I went down, I talked to our local director, John Lustick, and I said, John, how do we work together? Because I need to bring development here. One of the things we did in forming a partnership is that we began to do certain festivals. Last year I started something called the Summer Art Series. Once again, it wasn't just for bringing people down to have ice cream. It was about to show that Lockport is something special. We started to create many different things. We had a gala. We had public art, all privately funded. This was all stuff that I fundraised from businesses and from local people to pay for these sculptures, to pay for the exhibits, some of which were at the Illinois State Museum, some of which were curated by John Lustick at other parts. We had Ron Bell come in, Aaron Miller, a number of different artists. But here's the important part. It's not about bringing artists in here. It's not just about fun stuff. It's about that these had direct and viable results in redeveloping our downtown. One of the things we did was business retention. One of the things we did was a scavenger hunt that had to do with historical characters. It had to do with art that was created in town. The first day we did it, I had one business downtown got a $2,500 order because somebody who'd never been in her store before came in there. It was a direct result of this partnership with the Illinois State Museum and myself and the city of Lockport. On this page here, I have a picture of a building. This is what you see when you're standing outside the face of the Illinois State Museum. This building, if you take to the next page, 1 year ago looked like this. It was a burned-out hole that had been there for 7 years. When I, last year's Summer Art Series at the gala, I gave comp tickets to people I thought were interested in developing in Lockport. I brought them to this gala, which was the Summer Art Series. They saw what it was. They were excited about it, and they said, you know what? I'm investing in Lockport. Today, this building looks like this. They put $1.5 million into this building, and as of today, it's open. We did a ribbon cutting. It is a hugely popular place in the downtown. That's a direct result of capitalizing on our strengths, which is the Illinois State Museum campus in town. You said earlier, sir, that people oftentimes don't capitalize or promote our museums. That's not the case with me in Lockport. I made sure we played to our strengths. On the next pages, I show how we've put money into the parking lot. Emily McCassie testified to that. We put money into that parking lot, which is right outside. The plants that are in this planner, they're done by locals, just people who care about this place, people who are willing to go down there because they are so encouraged by our heritage and what we have here. This next page shows a bicycle rack that was built by locals because they care about the local community. The sculpture that was done was investments done by local businessmen. This has attracted people to come
here. Mayor, if you could wrap your comments up here, please.
Yep, I will do that. All I have to say now is I've got two other spots right now that are holes in the ground that I now have outside investors who are willing to develop because they saw what the Voles Building redevelopment looked like, and that's a direct result because of what we're doing at the Illinois State Museum. It has an impact if you capitalize on it. I'm capitalizing on it. And I guess lastly, the one thing I'm annoyed about is the fact that nobody even called me from the mayor's office. If they had simply called me and said, we're fixing to close this, I could have said, you know what, you don't have to. I will cover the insurance on the exhibit that's in there right now. Instead, it was cleared out overnight like it was a black op operation, and it's like I didn't even have the opportunity to work together with IDNR. A simple phone call would have done it. I know they're expecting a lot of work out of those three people they see on board, but they couldn't even make a simple phone call to me. I would have kept the museum open at least for the summer with putting it under our rider on the insurance. I would like to see them work together with the municipalities instead of just disregarding us.
I think that's their objective, too, to keep facilities open. It certainly would be. Thank you, Mayor. And then the Mayor of Lewiston, is that correct?
Yes.
And if, again, keep your comments as brief as possible. Thank you.
I'll try. Thank you for having me here. Here before you, you have one of the proudest Illinoisans that can possibly be. I'm from the county of Fulton. I'm the mayor of Lewistown, Illinois, home of Dixon Mounds Museum. I'm definitely being tested right now. I've been mayor for 12 years, and as a young mayor, I developed a big stack of history, and I went to a meeting, and I said, well, what do I do with it? I want to develop this. They say, go to Dixon Mounds. I said, go to Dixon Mounds? What are you talking about? They said, go to Dixon Mounds. So you know that? I pulled their ploy. I went to Dixon Mounds the next day. They took me in their office. They pulled all their employees out. They said, what do you got? I laid it out, and from that time on, we developed quite a partnership. During that partnership, then we developed, Amaquan came in that partnership. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife came in that partnership. There's many more things in that partnership. A small town like me, we had, it's really hurting us. I mean, we had to cut $116,000 out of our budget, where we usually have $3,000, and it's tough to do. And we've done it. Dixon Mounds is a major spoke in our wheel that I'm pulling. And when we pull this wheel out, my wagon's going to fall. And it's starting to develop. We worked on this for about eight years, all of us together. Dixon Mounds is also, I developed a visitor center. I'm borrowing this from this gentleman right here because this building right here looks just like ours. And it was a burnout building that was nothing. And Dixon Mounds designed the inside. They did the lighting, designed it for me at no cost. And I will tell you right now, I have the best visitor center in the state of Illinois for that size. What will Dixon Mounds closing do to us? It will be a travesty. It will be a travesty for everybody that has grown up there and been part of it. What do I picture right now? When I look at Dixon Mounds, next year, I see a big, beautiful building with 4-foot weeds around it. I don't want that to happen. I don't want anybody to have to see that. That's not what we do. That's not how we promote our tourism. We want to develop people. People want to come here. I personally rented a cabin out myself. I had people come from 3 to 4 hours away. It's a great location. They don't have to, you know, go hundreds of miles. They like the quiet. They like everything that's there. I was very successful at it. I sent them to Dixon Mounds. I sent them to Amaquan. We're very fortunate. The wheels are just starting to turn. They're just going. And now someone's pulling the wheel off. And Mr. Rauner, you tested me. You're testing this Illinois that's a chip on my shoulder that I'm so proud of. Thank you.
Thank you. We have one more, Mayor. Yeah. Mayor, and then, again, keep your comments as brief as possible. I apologize. Still a lot of people want, and then we need to start the clock, this 2 minute. Mayor?
Thank you, Mayor Jim Langfelder, City of Springfield, been there 2 months, and
you have
the time to cut
out. Oh, hey, that's better. Mayor Jim Langfelder, City of Springfield. It's my second month in office, a little over that, and it's my second time testifying to a hearing. So I understand your pain. I come from the private sector, and balancing budgets is difficult. And it's not DNR. What we should be taking a look at is the state of Illinois' budget, because the Illinois State Museum system, in comparison to the budget of Illinois, is minuscule. And we don't want to be penny-wise, pound-foolish. And the economic impact, I know I'll provide numbers in a minute, but the economic impact to broadening the minds of children is immeasurable. It's a domino effect that has an impact through all communities in Illinois. Growing up, I wasn't the most studious person. I did go through the Illinois State Museum numerous times. I still remember the Buffalo exhibit. That's my favorite one. But even to this day, they transformed, thankfully, to the staff, the Illinois State Museum systems, they transformed it to appeal to adults and all age groups. And I applaud them for those efforts. But on behalf of the City Council, I'd like to read this resolution in support of keeping the Illinois State Museum system open. And it reads, whereas the Office of the Governor of the State of Illinois proposed budget cuts, including $4.8 million that would cause the Illinois State Museum Systems, ISMS, to close in five cities, including Springfield, and whereas the ISM system has two locations in Springfield, including the Illinois State Museum on Spring and Edward Street and the Research and Collection Center on 10.5 Street, and whereas last year alone the ISM system brought in $33 million to $36 million statewide in tourism dollars, and approximately half, equaling $17 to $18 million, were spent in the city of Springfield. And whereas in 2014, over 200,000 visitors out of the total 387,000 visitors in the ISM system were visitors to the Springfield facilities, and the Illinois State Museum system and the Research and Collection Center welcomed 22,000 school children and 2,000 teachers through their doors, and whereas only 5% of museums nationwide are accredited through the American Alliance of Museums, and the Illinois State Museum System is one of those institutions, losing the accreditation impacts the collections from which the museum can borrow for its unique exhibits and results in potential loss in funding sources and donations. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Springfield, Illinois, that the Mayor and the City Council support keeping open the Illinois State Museum system because of the important benefits to the general public and Illinois education system. I'd also like to make note of the record of a video that I believe we sent to COFSA as part of this presentation. It's available online through the city's website, and it's Save the Illinois State Museum, and people can go there, and there's a link to sign an online petition. But I'd like to end it by summing up what the State Journal Register had said, and I think it sums it up quite well. It says, throughout much of Springfield's history, the now 138-year-old Illinois State Museum has offered steady reassurance that while people come and go from the capital city, the state's natural and cultural history are worthy of preservation, study, and protection, and this is my words, and should remain in the public domain. On behalf of the citizens of Springfield, we ask that you support the Illinois history, communities, and youth throughout Illinois by keeping the Illinois State Museum open with no interruption of service. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate all of you taking your time to be here. I believe we have, is it Patrick O'Brien, who's Chairman of the Economic and Tourism Committee, Fulton County Board. Again, if you'd keep your comments brief, we'd appreciate it. But thank you for coming. We thank you all.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman Moffitt and Trotter, and thank you for members of the commission for hearing me. I am the chairman of the Economic Development and Tourism Committee for the Fulton County Board. I am here in opposition of the closure of the Illinois State Museum system. I could sit here and repeat how sentimental Dixon Mounds is to me as a resident of Fulton County and explain to you guys the economic impact of it. So I chose to give you guys the economic impact of it. When I heard about this closure, I took a fact sheet and put some numbers together. It says in 2014 the museum served 386,750 individuals, and this is the entire museum system. We heard testimony earlier about the Illinois State Museum here in Springfield. And it was brought up earlier from Director Rosenthal about the $5 admission. If we did that statewide, that would bring revenue to $1,933,750 if we charged every visitor that came through the gates of the Illinois State Museum system. I do have experience in some budgets, and I would assume that the Illinois State Museum budget has very little revenue coming in, so almost $2 million would be better than the revenue that comes in now. Another is the visitors to state museum facilities and programs spend about $33 million in Illinois communities. I didn't have time to break this down. So in with MFT funds, municipal funds. So I just took the general sales tax revenue at 6.75% and took that times the $32 million in revenue that these visitors spend. $2,227,500 in revenue that would be missing just off of the general sales tax. That's not including motor fuel. That's not including local taxes as well. So with that, we've talked about the cost savings of $4.8 million, and with the general sales tax revenue and the $5 admission, you're looking at $4,161,250. So we're not too far off of the savings and the actual revenue that comes in from these museums. So just a challenge to look at that. And also, I've heard a lot about reform, and so I looked up the definition of reform. And the definition of reform is to make changes in something in order to improve it. I don't see that there's any reform going on here with this closure.
Mr. O'Brien, if you would conclude your remarks.
That's all I got.
Okay, thank you. That completes this panel, but we have legislative questions, and then we'll put it on time. So, Representative Yunus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Patrick, Mayor King, I'm glad you're both here. Thank you very much. I've had the privilege to get to know and work with both of you many times. I'm very, very proud to be able to represent Fulton County, specifically Lewistown, being the seed of Fulton County, very proud to represent it, and have been to Dixon Mounds many times, not only as a legislator, but throughout my entire life, and understand the sentimental value that it has for Fulton County and Lewistown. And Mayor King, I applaud your passion, getting to know you and seeing your ways to be creative, to make the dollar stretch, especially in these tough times, to make your budget balance and do what you need to do. You've been very, very creative. And you said that you have gained a great partnership with the museum, and I've seen that firsthand. I've visited the buildings that with you that you're talking about and referring to. On that, do you have any idea roughly the design cost savings that you were able and the city was able to utilize thanks to their services?
Oh, it would be hard to do. The design work that Kelvin Sampson did from the Dixon Mounds was just invaluable. He came in and we had an old building that was going to be torn down. He came in and 3D'd it. He came in and designed all the lighting. He came in and all the pictures we had from 1900 to 1905 that I've got, they redid them and made them bigger. They helped us put a display of a large mural that at one time was here in Springfield in one of the banks. Okay, they put it on the floor, on the second floor, did it. It's at one time it was 85 foot long by 16 foot tall. They shrunk it down, put it on canvas. Of course, we paid for those things. To do those type of things there's just no way we could ever afford to do that. It wasn't going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen. Kelvin Sampson was in there working himself on his own time, and that's what we created. And I do want to say one other thing about what a great director Mike Wyatt is. I've gone to Dixon Mounds in the wintertime, and who's out plowing the snow? It's Mike. Who's out doing all the stuff? It's Mike. And because he feels so passionate about it. And they have taken a hard blow, but we're making it back.
Sure.
We're working hard together. We want to get there.
Well, and again, I applaud your optimism and your creativity. And, you know, you mentioned Emequon, and that's something that has just been a hidden gem, I think, for everyone, and is just spectacular for anyone that hasn't seen it really needs to. And I know that there's a great partnership there with Emequon and Dixon Mounds and how to get your fishing permits, example, and that sort of thing. And you and I, and actually and separately, Patrick and I, have had many deep discussions on the ecotourism opportunities really all throughout Fulton County, but specifically with Emequon and Dixon Mounds there. And I agree with you. It feels like the wheels are starting to get into motion as this is starting to become more popular. People are exploring Lewistown, exploring Dixon Mounds and Emequon, but talk a little bit more in depth about the ecotourism opportunities and about the economic impact and what that means specifically for your city.
Just because of our partnership and the things that we are working on, it's kind of spread. We have two wineries going up close to Dixon Mounds. It's a place that that people can go for a day or two visit. Because of what's happening there, maybe not important to a lot of people, we have a new, brand new grocery store that we didn't have before. We have a brand new medical facility. I know those things aren't involved with tourism, but you know what? They see it. They wouldn't invest their money if they didn't know that those wheels were starting to turn and all the progress was being made. They see it, and they want to invest in it, and they have been invested in it. And there's just, like I said before, you know, I know people want to come there. I ran a cabin for 7 years. People say, oh, you got hunters there and stuff. No, I don't have hunters there. I have people from all over the state that came there because it was quiet. It was surreal. They could see any kind of wildlife. You could sit in my hot tub and see three eagles fly over. I mean, this is what we're talking about. You know, for you, you see a raccoon go across the street, means nothing. But for someone from Chicago or something that they have some, it's a big deal. They tell the people back home, you know what we saw? This is what it is. We live in what I consider God's country, one of the most beautiful counties in our state. And it's just starting to happen. I mean, we feel it. All of us felt it. And we know it's happened. When you mention Emequon, Go by there sometime. The place is, there's always cars there. My cousin, I'm sorry, I don't have to talk it too long. My son lives in Louisville. His friend from Chicago says he's going fishing at this great place. Where's that? It's Emaquan. People are coming. They need places to stay. They need things to do. And there are things to do. And there are things to see. And it's just a travesty.
And that leads to actually my next question. Patrick, maybe you can help with this. But talking about places to stay and along the same lines as ecotourism, I know it hasn't materialized yet, but as thanks to your help and the help of Mayor King continuing to put this gem on the map, there has been some discussion about maybe down the road some opportunities for hotel motel tax revenues as we get people from not only all across the state but all across the nation, as we've had famous people sightings, I know, in Canton, which, by the way, their city council, and hopefully it's submitted, Mr. Chairman, has also passed a resolution in opposition to the closing of Dixon Mounds. But, Patrick, if you wouldn't mind, from your position, kind of talking a little bit about the ecotourism and the future possibilities of even more tax revenues because of it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Representative Yunus. This closure comes at, and I think John has echoed this, it comes probably at the worst time. He's correct. The wheels are turning. We focus the Dixon Mounds Museum and the Dixon Mounds, or in the Emaquan National Wildlife, as our foundation to build that area. It's not just those two entities that are there, but they are the foundation. Not only is it the Dixon Mounds Museum, we have the Dixon Mounds State Park. That whole 270-acre facility is more than just a museum. It's used for weddings, wedding receptions. It gets a lot of use in the community. Also, within that little development there, as Mayor King said, there are wineries coming in, and there is talk about a bed and breakfast down in that area, which would finally give us the revenue stream to get hotel motel tax within the county. So yes, we are very excited. Well, we were very excited until this, because this would just be detrimental to anything that we have been and we will continue to work on.
Well, to both of you, I thank you for being here, and I thank you for your diligent and hard work and your passion and your creativity in doing what you do to make Lewistown and Fulton County even a greater place to live. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Yunus. Other legislators with questions? Thank you to our panel. Been very helpful. Your enthusiasm is such, makes me want to do a road trip there, although I've visited some of these places that we've been talking about. Senator Trotter, are you and I going to go together and go on that road trip? Thank you very much. We will now move to panel item number 4 on the agenda, Illinois State Museum Boards. If they would come forward, those that have registered. Those that have indicated they wanted to make comments, there's about a list. We're up to about 40 people. We have the timers out there, an official timer here. Are you the timer? And as long as the light's green, you go. There's a warning, an amber light with, is it 20 seconds left? And when the red comes on, we would like to ask that you finish. So with that many people still wanting to speak, we would urge you to keep it on schedule. So the timer, do you need to give any other directions? When a person starts to speak, the green light will come on. Is that correct? And you're controlling it. Okay. And you're official, and your accuracy in the timing. If you would each introduce yourself, and this is from Illinois State Museum Boards, introduce yourself and go across to make your comments, keeping 2 minutes. All right. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, sir, and thank you to the commission members. My name is Gary Stuggs, and I am on the board and currently the chairman. Sitting next to me is Mary Jo Potter. who is also on the board. We have Sandy Bauer, who is on the board of the Illinois Museum Society, and Lauren Nevlin, who I could see around the corner here, who is also on the state board. And the one other board member, Jessica Kajelnik, wanted to be here today but was unable to, but I will read her testimony if that's okay with the committee. So, may I begin now? All right. The Illinois State Museum should not be closed. The museum has important state mandates and state and federal responsibilities that it will not be able to fulfill if it is closed. Lawsuits likely will result from over 40 state, federal, and other curation agreements and federal penalties for failure to comply with the Federal Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act. Accreditation from the American Alliance of Museums could be lost, as could valuable staff. The Illinois Artisans Program will be shut down. According to the state, closure of all six facilities in the museum will save $4.8 million. In 2014, our 386,000 visitors spent $33 million in our communities, $17 million of that in Springfield alone. Museum staff brings an additional $2 million in grants and contracts. The museum has a mission to inspire people of all ages to discover and care about Illinois' natural and cultural resources and history. If it is closed, who will do that? As the State General Register editorialized, quote, throughout much of Springfield's history, the now 138-year-old Illinois State Museum has offered steady reassurance that while people and politicians come and go from the capital city, the state's natural and cultural history are worthy of preservation, study, and protection. That apparently is no longer a given, unquote. The editorial further states, preserving the Illinois history and sharing it with the people of the state has been a priority for Illinois leaders for generations. The museum's value is immeasurable. For 138 years, the Illinois State Museum has been a priority for the state through wars, economic downturns, and tough times. If leaders choose to close the museum, Illinois will invalidate decades of invaluable, meaningful research and preservation work, as well as the people's interest in the state's history and culture. The recommendation to close makes no sense from a legal, educational, or economic perspective. The Illinois State Museum Board implores the governor to reconsider closure and the commission to do so as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Suggs. And thank you for pronouncing Jessica's last name, who's not here.
Yeah, right.
I was going to struggle with that one. Thank you for keeping you in the time limit. So we'll move on. And again, 2 minutes. Excellent job. And I just want to commend you as a group for how dedicated you are and the pride you take in what you're doing and what you've done for not just this community, but for the state and really national. So thank you, those that went before you and those that are there now. I know you take it very serious and it's appreciated. So now it's Mary Jo Potter,
Mary
right?
Jo. Thank you very much, Representative Moffitt and the rest of the commission members. And I stand before you as well, asking you to keep the Illinois State Museum open. Since you, the legislature, founded the Illinois State Museum in 1877, people have entrusted us with 13.5 million objects, as you've heard over and over today. I really feel, should we close, we have violated their trust. They have let us use those for research, for education, for exhibits, and I think we've done a beautiful job of that with some award-winning exhibits over here in this building, for instance. Also, as been repeated, we have over 380,000 visitors. That's no small number in a year's period of time. 40,000 of those are students who come to learn about our heritage. We also have 1.5 million virtual visitors to our website who can draw on the educational resources that exist there. There are even lesson plans for teachers to use on that site. That has a great value for everyone in the state, even those people out of the state. And there's no other place that has the history that we have. We've talked about the savings of $4.8 million by closing the museum, but we really generate a lot of dollars in the communities where we've existed. That's been pointed out over and over again. I don't think we can emphasize enough the accreditation that we have received for the last 40 years. We are an outstanding museum. If you read through the testimony that's been submitted, you'll see that we're respected throughout the United States, even beyond the borders of the United States, for the work we do, the work we share, the education we provide. Our staff is top-notch. Our director is the very best. In the words of a nursery rhyme, be careful when you push Humpty Dumpty off the wall, because all the king's men and all the king's horses may never be able to put him back together again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary Jo. And now, is it Sandra?
Yes.
Bauer, president of the Illinois State Museum Society Board of Directors.
Yes. I'm a Springfield teacher. Well, first before I start, I just want to say, don't start me yet. I timed this down to 2 minutes. Microphone's not on. Push it. There we go. I timed this with my computer text-to-speech, and I used my iPhone to make sure it was 2 minutes. So if I go over, I'm really sorry. I tried and tried. Anyway, I'm a Springfield teacher who is a Horseman Educator of the Year. I'm a National Board Certified Teacher. I've been a classroom teacher for almost 40 years, and I'm currently the coordinator head teacher of the International Baccalaureate Program at Iowa School here in Springfield. And as we say, I'm also the president of the museum, the Illinois State Museum Society, but I'm really here as a teacher. And I just feel so much for the teachers and the children. We were all delighted that Governor Rauner signed HB 3763, which made sure that the schools would be open, you know, even though the budget is not passed. And he made a comment, education is the most important thing we do as a community, and that he would like to have done more for our school children. Well, yes, let's do more. Let's make sure this museum stays open. It's a gem of a museum. It's irreplaceable. Many educational opportunities are really going to be denied to our children, particularly, you know, our children who are directly affected in this area. And I know you've heard so much of it today, but, you know, teachers love those field trips to the State Museum that correlate with their units of study. They're hands-on. Kids get to touch, you know, the Indian or the Native American artifacts. No textbooks. They have their little iPads, and they're going around taking pictures, and they go back and make iMovies and so forth. And another thing they do for teachers is that teacher appreciation event, which is a total success every year. Of course, some people get to win field trips at that. Preschool kids won't be able to dig for those mastodon bones. They won't be able to use that high-powered microscope. And they can't drive that red Jeep to Africa like they all plan to do. Elementary and high school students won't be able to view the changes exhibit. And did you know that Illinois was once below the equator? Yeah. And that there were more than four ice ages? I always thought there were only four, but there are plenty more. Students would be denied, you know, this information that really I've learned as an adult. And
Ms. Bauer, if you wouldn't notice the red light, are you real close to finishing?
I didn't make my 2 minutes, did I?
You didn't.
Oh.
Do you want to make another concluding sentence or two, if we
sure.
can wind it up? It's excellent.
Oh, well, I was just concerned that they wouldn't understand, you know, the Native American influence, you know, in our state. And so many of the creative programs that they do at the State Museum. So, you know, I just think the closing of the museum is a horrible educational practice for children. And we just can't deny the children of Illinois the opportunity, you know, to learn about their history and their culture and their arts.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And it's Lauren, is that correct?
That's correct.
Lauren Neveling, PhD, Secretary, Illinois State Museum Board.
Co-chairman, members of the commission, don't follow Sandy. I'm Lauren Neveling, a resident of Monticello. Currently, I serve as secretary to the board of the Illinois State Museum and as a peer review panelist of the Illinois Public Museum Capital Grant Program. I'm a former director of the Field Museum and retired as chief emeritus of the Illinois Natural History Survey. I have also served the state as acting chief of the Illinois State Water Survey and interim director of the Arboretum of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. I stand in opposition to the proposal to close the Illinois State Museum, including all of its ancillary operations. The State Museum is the only Springfield museum accredited by the American Alliance of Museums. For generations, the museum has served to inform our citizens of their natural and cultural history. Information is provided in the form of exhibitions, educational programs, pamphlets, an active website, and scholarly publications, all based on the latest research result of a dedicated scholarly staff. This great museum and its mission have merited continuous support by our elected officials and the public for 138 years. That support, your support, has resulted in one of, if not the most respected state museum in the nation. Illinois taxpayers for more than a century have built their museum. It seems to me that they have every right of access to the history that they have paid for. To deliberately deny Illinois citizens access to their ancestors' legacy is beyond comprehension. Please recommend that the Illinois State Museum not be closed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And again, excellent staying on time. If legislators have some questions or comments, and Senator Trotter has one, followed by Representative Poe.
Do you want me to give Jessica's testimony before that?
Thank you. You did ask to do that at first, and if you can keep that within 2 minutes. That was your request, so thank you.
Thank you. This is testimony from Jessica Gujalnik. The Illinois State Museum represents 138 years of dedication by thousands of Illinoisans who have helped acquire, obtain, create, and unearth almost 14 million artifacts and specimens and works of art that represent Illinois' natural and cultural heritage. Closing this museum would cause irreparable damage to the preservation of Illinois history for future generations. It would cause the state to lose at least $33 million in tourist revenue each year, as well as the loss of national accreditation of the state museum system, loss of a highly educated and internationally respected staff, and denial of public access to award-winning exhibitions based on current research and outstanding collections. The museum is already supported through a state-private partnership. About a quarter to a third of the actual annual operating revenue, over $2 million, is already provided by the Illinois State Museum Society, a nonprofit organization that was created solely for the purpose of helping support the programs and welfare of the museum. The important role of the Museum Society is recognized in state statutes. These funds supplement the state appropriation and support research, collections preservation, major exhibitions, and educational programs. There are many alternatives and strategies that could have been explored short of closing this high-performing and beloved institution. The threat of closing has already caused considerable damage to the State Museum's credibility with donors and collections, donors to collections and founders and funders of all types. We know it's about dollars and the budget. $6.3 million appropriated through the state and less than $4.8 million would be saved because of the need to secure and protect the collections. However, the museum system, if it's closed, Illinois would lose additional $2 million provided from the nonprofit arm of the museum and $33 million in tourist revenue. With this information, we ask the Commission to oppose the closing of the State Museum system. If any of you have not visited the Illinois State Museum, we invite you for a tour. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for reading the letter there from Jessica, another board member. We appreciate it and keeping timely. With that, let's start with Representative Poe for questions, and then Senator Trotter and any other members that have a question.
Don't have a lot of questions, but just comments. And I've been going to that museum, and I know I'm old, but guess what? As a student, we went to the Illinois State Museum. I went out right out here at Sherman-Winsville. But what I'm going to compliment the board, I mean, you guys get paid a nickel of nothing, and you put in, I hate to say how many hours, volunteer hours, just this, these four sitting here has. And I've been convinced because Gary, he comes and sees me quite often. And the main concern that I have probably is once we lay some off, one off, and it's only 2 or 3 months, but what happens if one of your good curators, your directors, or someone gets a better offer around the United States? It's quite a bit more money. It's a new job where someone's a given plenty. Then rebuilding's not near as easy as everybody's letting on around here, because those people aren't going to come back if they find a secure place where they can work. So I think that behooves us as a committee to look at the startup is going to be as devastating as it is going to be to lay people off.
You're absolutely right on that.
Thank you, Representative Poe. Senator Trotter.
Thank you very much. I had asked the director earlier about the accreditation.
And he informed us that it's an annual accreditation. But Ms. Potter, I think you alluded to it. Can you sort of walk us through the accreditation? Is it that easy to get back?
No, it is not that easy to get back. And let me just speak for Mary Jo, then I'll let her talk on her own. It's a 10-year process. If we're not open for 1,000 hours in a year, we lose the accreditation. If we lose the accreditation, we've got to go back through the process, which would probably be about a 3-year process to get it back.
Okay, so the accreditation itself, it helps you get others' money, philanthropic kind of dollars and those things. What does accreditation mean?
What I would like to add is I've been through one of the accreditation processes. I think it's done every 10 years, am I correct? And it's an extensive self-evaluation of who we are, what we want to accomplish, where we want to go, so that we have a guide that we want to follow and know where we're going to go with what we need to do, which is educate the public. And that is our primary goal. And then the association evaluates what we do, evaluates our staff, evaluates our goals, and decides if we're worthy of accreditation. And we're one of 5% of all museums in the United States.
But as I just mentioned, one of the criteria is you have to be open.
That's correct. Yeah, that is absolutely correct. And the other thing I would mention is it helps us with donors. It helps us with donors who are considering making dollar donations as well as collection donations, because it shows that we are respected in the museum community, and it's a very valuable tool for us to have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you for your responses. Representative Nekritz for comments or questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Suggs, you referred to the fact that there are 40 curation agreements that would be violated. What is the consequence of violating those curation agreements?
Well, obviously it varies with each agreement, but each agreement has its own rules and regulations, and if we start to violate some of those, we're probably going to get some lawsuits. I mean, that's what would be the natural result of that. Now, again, part of it is having the collections available. Native Americans, for instance, want to know if the collections are available. And there's also part of this study. And we have federal collections that we hold. And they want to make sure that they're available to the public.
Because one of the letters that was in the packet that was online was from from one agency who said we will sue you because part of the memorandum of understanding indicates that you're going to be that's part of the curation agreement.
Correct.
So okay.
Correct.
And are any of the four the smaller facilities that we don't have any advisory opportunity with, are any of those parties to these curation agreements?
Typically the curation agreements are going to be with the Springfield offices and or Dixon Mounds. So Dixon Mounds would, yes, be in that category, but the other three probably would not.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the panel, thank you for your service to the state of Illinois, and thank you for being here today to testify. To Gary and Mary Jo, thank you very much. We've, as Representative Post said, you've been knocking on our doors a lot, and those have been, I'm glad you have been there. So thank you for coming in. Let me go back to just one thing, just thank Mayor Langfelder for being here today. He got out of here quick, but obviously being my mayor from the city of Springfield, I thank him for his leadership in attempting to keep the museum open. I and as Gary and Mary Jo, from our discussions, I stand opposed to this closing. Here in Springfield, tourism and state government and healthcare are our top three things in Springfield. And tourism and state government are intimately entwined here in Springfield through all the facilities that we have. And I think this is a vital facility to the city of Springfield. 200,000 visitors obviously is nothing to sneeze at, I think, when it comes. And what I've been very pleased to hear about today is some of the economic and fiscal arguments for keeping this open. Obviously, these facilities contribute to the tax base of our communities, and those of us in these positions, even though I'm lowest man out of the totem pole out of 177 right now, these are the decisions that we have to make about how we spend our tax dollars. And in my mind, this is a wise use of taxpayer dollars. It contributes. We're going into the bicentennial of Illinois in 1818. We're going into the bicentennial of our state. Nobody's talking about it. And it's a great opportunity for us to promote our state and to talk about the cultural fabric of Illinois. And I think the State Museum does a great job at promoting the cultural fabric of our state. There's a couple things I want to ask about. It hasn't come up today. One of them is the Artisans Program. And the Artisans Program, in what I understand, is a great avenue for Illinois artists to basically sell their wares and become established as artists. So I don't know if any of you can address that, how the Artisan Program works and the impact that that has, but I know already that those are some of the items that have been taken out of the museum and has basically impacted folks trying to make money off the art that they sell, correct?
The Artisans Program is a juried program. And you, if you're an artisan, you come to us on an annual basis. Well, to get into the program, you come once a year, and you present your works. And then there's a group that sits and judges those works and allows you, if you are sufficiently good, to become a juried artist. Then you're allowed to submit items to the museum for sale. We take those items on consignment, and they are for sale. And we do a good business in selling artifacts that Illinois artisans have created. Wood, ceramics, you name it. There's a whole gamut of it. But the fact that it's a juried program, the public knows that these are artists who are capable of performing and designing artifacts that will be of value to the public to buy. And that is a great way for them to sell those artifacts, because we sell them in Chicago, we've had to close down Dixon Mounds, but we sell them in Springfield, and we've been selling them in Wren Lake as well. Now, Wren Lake has been a problem because we're not getting as many visitors as we want in Wren Lake, but again, that's a way for artisans to sell their wares in Illinois, and that produces, obviously, sales tax revenue for the state.
Mm-hmm. I've heard anecdotally about an artist in Champaign that's already losing business from what has happened. So obviously, between the dollars that are not coming in from tourism, which would have an impact to private businesses, and obviously private business and the artists, you know, this closing would have an impact on private businesses, not just the public sector. One of the other things I want to touch on, and the director mentioned it, and I guess I'd like to be enlightened a little more when he said there was a discussion about entrance fees to the museum. And, in my mind, if this is an avenue where we can look at to try to create an extra revenue stream for the museum, I looked it up while we were sitting here. The presidential, Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum charges $12 right now.
We're very open to looking at fees. This originally was allowed through legislation which was passed in the last year or two, and I don't remember exactly the timing on that, but we really haven't had any time to discuss that, quite frankly. Initially, your reaction is, well, it's free, we'd like to keep it free, but recognizing what's going on, and that was never proposed to us as an alternative to closure.
Okay. My last question, and I don't know if you can really answer this, but is there some way to determine how many visitors come to Springfield specifically for the museum as opposed to making the circuit of the home and the Presidential Museum and Route 66 or anything else?
I can't answer that question, okay. Tim. I don't know the answer to that. I think it would probably be difficult to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you again for your service to the state.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Burke has asked recognition, followed by Senator Severson.
Thank you. You had mentioned that the society does some significant fundraising for revenues for the museum.
Correct. We have the society raises money in two directions. Number one, we do grant and contract work for the state of Illinois, and we run it through the museum society, and that is money that is generated by curators who will go out for grants, but the grant won't work for the state of Illinois. It won't allow the state of Illinois to do it. It needs a 501c3 corporation. So we use the 501c3 corporation for that. That's the roughly $2 million I mentioned at one point, I think it's been mentioned by others, coming into the state. The Society also has a fundraising program called the 1877 Society, which was the date that the museum was founded, and that has generated, in the neighborhood of $50,000 a year for operations that the museum wants to do, which it can't get funded through the state. And so it's additional funding that we use for the operation of the museum.
And do you fundraise that $50,000 on an annual basis?
Yes.
Or do you have an endowment that also supplements that?
We have an endowment, and the endowment at this stage of the game has $700,000 to $800,000 in it, most of which is being used to fund a museum educator position through the Mary Ann McLean Museum.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Representative. And Senator Severson has asked for recognition.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the end, what this is really talking about the worst-case scenario, if a budget agreement gets met and we hopefully make some improvements in our jobs climate in Illinois, and we won't continue to see that migration of jobs out of Illinois, being the only state that's had net out migration. Our goal is to try to keep people here, keep our families here. If those reforms are done and the taxes put back on, that alleviates a lot of the pressure for this year. But I would be remiss if we didn't start looking at what we're going to do in the future, because this idea of unlimited money being there year after year is really coming to an end. Federal government can't pay its bills. The state can't make its pension payments. We have an infrastructure that is crumbling every year, and we're falling further and further behind. And then we have an aging population that's costing more and more. And so the idea of thinking that even if we get through this year and the funding is restored, the question is how are these facilities going to be operating in the future when money becomes more and more and more scarce? What creative ways are we looking at that with the understanding is there's just not going to be enough dollars in the future to do all these things if we're going to take care of all the other needs that the state has? So are we looking at partnerships? Are we looking at, I know we talked earlier about the issue of raising of fees and the increasing costs for it. Nothing is free. There's always going to be a cost. Somebody's going to have to pay it. But are we looking at new partnerships? Are we proposing or looking at what fee increases would generate to maintain these things? Or are we looking for plans? What are we going to do next year or the year after when things continue to get tighter and tighter?
Well, as I said before, we certainly would be open to the fee issue and are open to that issue. We have done some work, trying to do some work on fundraising. Again, that 1877 fund that I mentioned has grown from probably $15,000 to $25,000 to now $50,000, and we're getting in a little bit more every year. Now, that's, again, a small amount in terms of the, you know, $6 million or whatever number you want to use. But we're certainly open to those things. We haven't really been asked to do a lot of that. And so, you know, we're certainly open to doing that. Let me put it that way. Okay?
Well, this is a good time for you to
sure.
You don't have to wait to be asked. I think now's the time for you to come up with some proposals and say, here are some creative ideas. We know there has to be shared sacrifices. And present those to the legislature saying, here's how we can do this. We know it's going to be difficult, and here's what we're going to commit to raising in funds, and here's what we're going to do with fee increases. I know we've tried to adjust the number of free museum days, and I think that was shot down before, but I think that has to be revisited as part of this solution. And if people don't want to step up and support the museums, then they have to pay the consequences for it. But I think the reality is we need to come up with some solutions that not only for this year, but long-term, because we're going to be facing these same problems next year and the year after and the year after. So if you could come up with, I guess this is a call to you to say, work with your groups and come back with some suggestions on what fee increases or what fundraising opportunities could be made to help make this a better partnership.
We have no problem with doing that, but obviously right now we're concerned about closure and concerned about being shut down.
Well, this could be part of that solution. Again, this is, we're making recommendations.
I realize
and,
that.
And if you can come back with recommendations to say, here's how we can make this thing more palatable, I think you would find, certainly on this panel, you would find legislators that are certainly open to working with you to do that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. To the panel, the board members, thank you for being here. I just want to second what Representative Butler and Poe said, and your dedication. It is appreciated. Any other members, any other legislators have any other comments or questions? If not, we thank you to the State Museum Board. Appreciate you being here. The next panel is employee organizations, unions, and associations. If they would step forward, those that have registered, again, 2 minutes, and watch the lights there on the table. If you would introduce yourself as you go across the table as the next panel.
Good evening. My name is Ann Irving. I'm the Director of Public Policy with AFSCME Council 31. We oppose all six ISM closures, the four sites that our members who are with me will speak to in a moment, and also the Thompson Center and Rend Lake sites, because we believe these closures would seriously damage a key component of our state's cultural and historic heritage. And we're happy that that's the first question the Commission is asking tonight, what that impact will be. And certainly we'd like you to consider the work our members accomplish, curating exhibits, designing educational programs, as you heard, maintaining a very unique and very large collection that includes anthropology, zoology, geology, botany, history, decorative arts, and fine arts, conducting research themselves and also assisting outside researchers who want to access those collections. And they've studied very critical issues like the human impact on the environment. As you heard, they host a huge number of visitors every year, not just at the ISM Museum here on campus, but at all the sites, as I don't think the DNR testimony made clear. And they, as we just discussed, they promote the work of Illinois artists. And we think it is very important to ask this question, does it make sense to end these educational, artistic, scientific, cultural benefits for a savings of $4.8 million? And I do want to point out that just discussing the closure, again, this wasn't made clear in DNR testimony, there already have been requests to return items from the collection from donors and loaners. So I want to make clear there's already an impact. As was discussed, there's a possible impact. As soon as there's a layoff, we stand the risk of losing a vast store of the information that our staff who've worked there for 20 years have. But in addition, I think it's really important you're asking the question about what has been the economic fiscal analysis of this closure. What are the potential costs, the loss of the $33 million spent annually by visitors to these sites, the loss of millions in grant dollars? And it's making that cost-benefit analysis, and I will say, too, the potential loss, and I see the red light, the potential loss in this collection, because when our members heard that that DNR was proposing maintaining the collection with one person doing HVAC and two curators, they said that isn't possible. There will be a loss and a damage to that very delicate collection. Thank you.
Thank you. The next member, if you'd introduce yourself.
My name is Dr. Chris Widja, and I'm Associate Curator and Chair of Geology at the Illinois State Museum Research and Collection Center. Today I'd like to speak to you on behalf of the millions of objects that we curate. Collections are at the core of what we do. These are world-class collections, the physical heritage of the state of Illinois. From the earliest dogs in North America, which are green in Calhoun counties, to quilts stitched from the uniforms of Civil War dead. They attract researchers from all over the world to provide the raw material for educational outreach programs reaching thousands of school children and award-winning exhibits that focus on the rich, natural, and cultural history of Illinois. If the State Museum closes and the staff is laid off, these collections will be impacted, have no doubt. Although we've been told that the ISM collections will be maintained, it is really unclear how this is going to happen. Natural history and art collections require constant specialized care by a highly trained staff. Objects are continually evaluated for necessary repairs and stabilization. We do what needs to be done to ensure that these one-of-a-kind public collections will last for the next 138 years. If most of the staff is laid off, even temporarily, there will not be enough curators to perform these vital functions in the collections. 13.5 million objects will suffer. Our curators and associates perform groundbreaking research in the arts and sciences. In this world of progressive climate change, this sort of research is not trivial. The collections give us unique perspectives on Illinois ecological and cultural systems that predate modern land use changes, so we can get a better understanding of how natural systems work. This research is funded externally through contracts and grants, about $2 million per year. We're known internationally for solid, innovative research. We're not only good at what we do, we're also unique. We also have statutory responsibilities. We are the official repository for artifacts and fossils found on Illinois public lands. We coordinate with Native American groups to ensure that the remains of their ancestors are treated with the respect and care that they deserve. We take in orphan collections from the many museums that have already closed their doors to ensure that they remain in the public trust. These are the responsibilities that we take very seriously, and they are vital to the shared heritage of Illinois citizens. Finally, our state has a legal and moral responsibility to our donors. These are Illinois citizens who donated their most prized possessions to the State Museum so they could be enjoyed by everyone. Closing the museum system will negatively impact these collections and betray that trust. I strongly urge the committee to recommend against the closure of the Illinois State Museum.
Thank you very much. And next member.
Hi. Hello. I'm Krista Christensen, Curator of Education at Dixon Mounds in Fulton County. The Illinois State Museum Dixon Mounds chronicles 12,000 years of Native American history in Illinois. Our beginnings were humble, a tent stretched over Don Dixon's excavation of a 900-year-old cemetery. In 1945, the state purchased the property and established Dixon Mounds State Memorial to honor Native American heritage. For more than 80 years, millions of visitors, school children, families, and scholars have come to learn the history of a vibrant Native American society and to learn about humanity. Last year alone, we served 50,000 individuals. The museum houses a unique artifact collection, much of which was donated by citizens. The artifacts tell the story of Native American life in the Illinois Valley through a variety of exhibits, and link our own well-being to the natural world. Today, Dixon Mounds is an educational center for rural and underserved communities. A variety of programs, from a winter gathering of tribes to Tot Time, a program series sponsored by local businesses, routinely draw people from a 50-mile radius. The Emequon Partnership, a multi-organizational collaboration, has expanded programming and fostered new exhibits, such as the currently under construction Emequon Gallery. Please consider both the national and local consequences of this proposed closure. Dixon Mounds is not only one of the major on-site archaeological museums in the United States, it is a long-cherished institution that generations of Illinoisans have depended on as an educational venue for lifelong learning. It is a place where memories are made. We are asking the Commission to oppose the closing of the Illinois State Museum system.
Thank you very much. Next, is John, is that correct? If you would introduce yourself. And
good afternoon. My name is John Lustig. I'm the director of the ISM site in Lockport. On behalf of the residents of the Southwest suburbs and beyond who rely on our facility as a cultural and economic development anchor, I urge you to vote against this closure of Lockport or any of the state museum sites. Our museum is located in historic downtown Lockport. We are part of the I&M Canal Corridor, which is also under DNR management, and we frequently link programming with. We are housed in a building that dates back to the 1850s. This was a time in our state's history before the railroads when the canal, a waterway between Lake Michigan and the Mississippi, was the mode of transportation. Our exhibits focus on the fine arts and history, and our location gives us a unique ability to relate exhibits to nature and the environment. Curators at ISM branch sites develop exhibits using objects pulled from the ISM's vast permanent collections. We rotate these exhibits throughout our system and tailor them to our specific regions. For example, ISM is known nationally for its deep inventory of Illinois quilts. Our Civil War Quilters exhibition displayed quilts made for soldiers who took them to war and returned with them. The actual artifacts were made that returned that lived through the Civil War. Quilting bees come from all over to see these exhibits. Peoria, Galesburg, DeKalb. We logged in over 6,500 visitors to that exhibit. Quilters are hardcore fans that put Blackhawk fans to shame, and they spend money locally. As a free museum, I want to emphasize the word free. We are a destination for children and their families in towns like Joliet and Palos who can't afford trips to the expensive downtown museums. We are a resource to the children in Naperville, Tinley, and beyond who are working on term papers. We also own fine art exhibitions, which not only engage visitors, but provide working artists with exposure that allows their businesses to flourish, an economic engine that cannot be ignored. Thank you.
Thank you. Members of the panel up here, any questions? I'm sorry.
Hello, my name is Susan Collins. I'm an exhibit technician at the Illinois State Museum in the Capitol Complex. And this is a museum where people can come, bring families, bring friends. They can discover, they can explore, they can touch, they can ask questions, and more importantly, they can have those questions answered. They are introduced to all the areas of study that form our museum family. And because there's no admission fees, our doors are open to everyone. People can come back, and every time they do, they discover something new. It inspires old and young alike. I worked at the Illinois State Museum for 30 years. But I'm really here as someone whose career was inspired by a vacation. My family was in the Quad Cities. My father, who was a history buff, brought us to Springfield. And, of course, one of our stops was the Illinois State Museum. And I remember standing in front of a diorama that at that time seemed huge. And I told my dad that I was going to work at a museum. I was going to work at this museum. And it was the Illinois State Museum that has guided my career choice and my educational choices through college. And every day I'm at the Illinois State Museum, I see children fascinated and adults about what they see. And at times I'm still fascinated by what I see, even though I know the magic behind it. And I want that same feeling for my grandchildren and for future generations to experience. If we let the Illinois State Museum close, we're going to lose part of our history, and we will lose an educational resource, and we will lose part of our community, and it will close a part of me. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan, and again, sorry to skip that you're on the list, and I made a switch there. Members of the panel, any? Senator Kaler?
Yes, thank you. A couple of you have kind of emphasized the fact that the museum is free. And we've talked a little bit about potentially looking at charging some kind of a fee for the museum if they're to remain open. What does that do to children visiting the museum, in your estimation?
One of the things that our members have focused on is the accessibility of the museum, and in particular to school groups. So obviously we would have a concern about that. But I also feel like our intent today was to give you a sense of what the museums are and what they have to offer. And I don't think we're prepared to engage in a discussion of what it would be, how much it would be. I think the key point is, where your question is leading, if you charge a fee, obviously that's going to impact access to the museums.
Well, I guess I would just urge, and I don't know if any of the folks are in the room with the prior discussions, but if we're looking at that, that we look for an exemption for children of a certain age, school groups, and that, because I think that's one of the resources that is very important to any group of students is coming to the museum. I mean, I know my granddaughters all think that you can just Google everything, but at some point you need to actually go and see it and touch it. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Senator. Any other members of the panel? Anyone else? Then to our group, thank you for being here. Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next, we'll call up the category community organizations, and there are a total of 10, so if we would fill up the first four chairs here as listed. Again, take note of the timers on your table, the green light, followed by amber, followed by red. And so we'll just rotate, and we have 10 in the category of community organizations. Would ask that you introduce yourself, and with that, we'll begin. If you'd please observe the timer light. Thank you for being here.
Hi, good evening. My name is Erica Holst. I'm the curator of collections at the Springfield Art Association, and I'm here to oppose the closing of the Illinois State Museum. One thing that I would like to make you aware of is that closing the Illinois State Museum isn't just a matter of closing even one museum or one museum system. It would send shockwaves throughout all museums throughout Illinois. Museums are an interdependent web, and we're usually too small and too light on resources to do the work we need to do by ourselves, so we rely on other museums. And the State Museum is a bedrock in the museum community. They loan their collections, they loan their professional expertise, they loan their time, and so there are hundreds of historical societies, art associations, museums, large and small, throughout the state of Illinois that will suffer if this museum closes. And I wanted to come in front of you and speak to you as an Illinois citizen and as a human being, and I'm a stranger to politics, so I don't know if this is the place for that, but I think it needs to be said as well. I hope that our elected officials are people who are serving because they want to make Illinois a better place, that they believe in our state, that they want to protect what we hold dear. And I can think of no better thing that does protect what we hold dear and serves the people of our state than the State Museum. As representatives of the people, I hope you hear the people, see the people, and the people of Illinois are asking for this museum to stay open. This is our story. This is our legacy. There's a lot of talk about dollars and cents and the budget shortfall and where this falls, but I think there are some things that are worth more than money, that you can't put a price tag on. And our collective heritage, our stories as a people, the tapestry that weaves us all together, our triumphs, our struggles, our knowledge is one of them. And I hope you will take that into consideration and oppose the closing of the State Museum.
Thank you for your testimony. If you would introduce yourself.
Good evening, Chairman Trotter, Chairman Moffitt, and distinguished members of the committee. My name is Rod Joy, and I serve as Executive Director of Arts Alliance Illinois, our statewide arts advocacy and service organization. On behalf of the 25,000 citizen advocates and hundreds of cultural organizations we serve and represent, I'm here to oppose the proposed closure of the Illinois State Museum and its branch facilities. The State Museum is an internationally renowned and nationally accredited institution that helps the people of our great state understand our past and imagine our shared future. In addition to celebrating our history and elevating our cultural heritage, I think, as Representative Butler pointed out, it's really important to keep in mind the contributions that our museums make to the economy and the workforce. We know that our state museum system generates $33 million annually in economic activity. We know that our museums are the number one reason why tourists visit Illinois. We know that our state museums attract over 387,000 visitors annually. We know from our data, and this came up earlier in the testimony,
We know from our data that individuals who attend arts events who do not live in Illinois spend 2.5 times more than their local counterparts when they attend cultural attractions. We know that our museums not only employ curators, researchers, and educators, but we know that museums help put more money in non-museum industries. When our museums are thriving, it helps local hotels, it helps local restaurants, it helps local shop owners. As was pointed out earlier with the Illinois Artisan Program, that program supports 3,000 Illinois artists and craftspeople annually. That's really important for jobs and economic growth in Illinois. Even a temporary closure of our state museums will cause permanent damage. This proposed closure will make our state less competitive, less compassionate, and less creative. We urge you to do all that you can to keep the Illinois State Museum system open and accessible to the people of Illinois. And Representative Moffitt, when you're ready to take that tour, we're fired up and ready to go.
Real fine.
Thank you.
And thank you for your comments. Next panelist.
Good evening. My name is Amanda Woodruff, and I wear many hats in my local community, but I am here on behalf of our Fulton County Arts Council. The Illinois State Museum has a long history as a supporter of the arts and is an invaluable partner for Illinois State's organizations and artists. The museum provides arts opportunities through exhibits, educational programming, and performances that would otherwise not be possible. Dix Mounds Museum, located in Fulton County, has been open to the public for over 80 years and is known worldwide. It is an irreplaceable resource for learning about Illinois natural and prehistoric history. In its rural setting, Dix Mounds Museum is a place that holds deep local pride and also serves as a local cultural center where residents regularly come to explore and experience visual and performing arts and history. The long partnership between the Fulton County Arts Council and the museum is important and irreplaceable. Besides the possible loss of an extraordinary venue, we will lose the expertise provided by its staff. Please, I urge you to recommend that the entire Illinois State system remain open to continue to serve the people of Illinois and the world. We cannot forget how invaluable these institutions are to bringing the arts to rural, underserved communities in Illinois. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Next panelist.
Hello, my name is Benjamin Lauder. I'm the creative director for the Center for Spirituality and Sustainability, which is located on the campus of Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville. I wanted to come here today to testify on behalf of keeping the Illinois State Museum system open because it personally has a strong impact on me. I vividly recall visiting there as a third grader and getting dropped off out front of the building, you know, and with the rest of the kids hanging out in the plaza in front of that John Henry designed sculpture, which is a collection of yellow steel beams jumbled up together. And the docent came out from the museum and asked us if we had any questions before we went in. And I asked what it was they were planning on building here out of these beams. And being from Waverly, Illinois, a small community under 2,000, we don't have any public art, let alone abstract public art of that nature in our community. So the docent let me know that it was a piece of abstract sculpture. So that really broadened my worldview in a way that few things can. And it impacted me in a way particularly because it was a state institution, so that it is, communicates our cultural heritage, that we do find this to be of value. And it doesn't necessarily have a utilitarian purpose, but it is there to cause a third grader to say why and to expand that worldview and to quantify that or put a value on that is really impossible, especially when you're trying to do that through a spreadsheet or a budget. You may be able to determine what something costs, but it is impossible to find its true value on that spreadsheet. So I think a state would scarcely fail to even meet the definition of a state without a museum. So I urge you to keep it open.
Thank you, Benjamin, and thank you for asking the question that I always wanted to ask but never did, and sharing that answer. That's very helpful.
It's actually of the Illinois landscape.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Members of the commission or panel up here, any questions, comments? Anyone? If not, we thank you for taking your time to be here. We appreciate your input very much. Excellent testimony. Additional representatives identified as community organizations. If you would come forward again, same format, if you'd introduce yourselves, and then you see the timer lights in front of you. And Senator Trotter, if you would conduct this for a moment, make a call.
Okay. Where do you want to start first?
Okay.
Introduce yourself, please.
Okay. My name is Dr. Rochelle Lurie. I'm the president of the Illinois Archaeological Survey, the organization of Illinois professional archaeologists. On behalf of our membership, I strongly oppose closure of the Illinois State Museum. It is clear to me that closing the museum deprives the residents of Illinois access to their natural and cultural heritage that is so well curated, displayed, and interpreted by the museum's dedicated staff. Closing also denies local, national, and international scholars the opportunity to work with priceless collections and to work with highly regarded museum staff considered experts in their fields. Finally, closing the museum violates many legal obligations, which may result in fines, lawsuits, and unintended project delays for Illinois businesses. Closing the museum would be far more costly than the current operating budget. I want to talk just for a minute about one thing that the museum does that hasn't been mentioned before. The museum staff manages the Illinois Inventory of Archaeological Sites, currently containing more than 63,400 registered Illinois sites. Making sure that the site files are up to date, correct, and accessible is important to archaeologists conducting projects on highway and utility corridors, industrial parks, small businesses, large and small residential developments. The files provide the necessary context for these projects, and if sites are found during the surveys, site forms are sent to the Illinois State Museum for official state numbers. Without the proper background and without official site numbers, federal and state reviewing agencies may reject project reports, causing construction delays and an increase in the cost of development. If Illinois wants to attract businesses, maintenance of the site files and the museum is of critical importance. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Doctor. Next, please.
Hello, my name is Amy McEwen, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the Save the Illinois State Museum group. We are a grassroots group that formed organically when one of our members started a Facebook page and another started the online petition. We currently have over 8,000 people following our page. Our posts have been viewed this past week alone by over 60,000 people, and people have liked and commented and shared them, over 5,000 people. These include people from across the great state of Illinois and indeed the world, with 43 countries represented. In working with this group, I have learned how united our community is in opposition to closure. Families, business groups, community organizations, none support closure. None. I urge you, if you have not already, to visit our page for its outpouring of support and testimonies. I am humbled by the task of trying to speak for so many here today. Some of these voices are scientists from around the world who have made clear what an incredible contribution this museum makes to science and science education.
Museums are not something you close in hard times. Museums are refuges in hard times as they serve to remind us that times have been hard before and people still figured out a way forward. The museum was founded in 1877. 1877. This means that the good people of Illinois who lived through the Great Depression figured out a way to keep the doors open. Surely we can do the same. For the sake of science, science education, our national and international reputation, our local and state economies, our families and communities, I urge you to vote in opposition to closure. Please give my 8-year-old daughter, who loves this museum, the happy ending that I have promised her. Please give all of us the happy ending. And if I can do this, can we just have a show of hands? How many people here who may not be able to testify are opposed to closure? I don't know if I'm supposed to do that or not. But.
I don't know. Show and tell always works. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. And there's many up here that agree with you as well. Next, please.
Good afternoon.
And I'm going to turn the mic back over to the culture.
I'm Dr. Jody O'Gorman, and I am from Michigan. Currently, I was a resident of Illinois some years ago. I am chair of the anthropology department at Michigan State University, and I'm also an assistant curator at the MSU Museum. The Illinois State Museum is known locally and globally for its collections, exhibits, and as a top-notch research institution. Its museums and research and collection center form a cultural treasure that belongs to the people of Illinois. Museums play a unique role in gathering and transforming knowledge to audiences of all ages. And I must say, your museum excels at this. Through exhibits, hands-on activities, tours, lectures, publication apps, lesson plans for teachers, and other venues, your museum creates entertaining learning opportunities about Illinois for young and old, rich and poor, visitors and citizens. These benefits are possible due to an exceptional staff, excellent research facilities, and important collections coming together within an accredited museum. The use of collections by outside researchers and other types of collaborations are a vital part of what makes a great museum. But this is not something people usually consider or even know about when it comes to costs and benefits. Collaborative endeavors enhance key collections, often involve the influx of grant funds and labor into the museum, and offer other benefits. For example, for the past 8 years, my students and I have volunteered over 30,000 hours of fieldwork providing staffing for public education programs and inventory to what will become part of the Dixon Mounds Museum's collection. Additionally, we conduct research on the collection that increases the scientific and educational value and enhances the museum collection. My project is only one among many such collaborations. The Illinois State Museum represents the state's knowledge and its respect of its past, the expertise and inquisitive nature of its present, and an investment in future generations. It is a cultural treasure that produces high returns, and I urge you to recommend that it not be closed.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for allowing me to say a few words on behalf of the Illinois State Museum. My name is William Leggy, and I'm the executive director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Central Illinois, where over 1,500 low-income students from here in Springfield receive out-of-school time activities after school and in the summer at 10 locations we have throughout town. The Illinois State Museum is the only place in our community that engages the public in discovering the land, life, people, and art of Illinois from a statewide long-term perspective. While on field trips to the museum, our youth have explored the natural history of Illinois dating back thousands of years. They've created art projects and built towering structures out of Legos. At an overnight camp-in at the museum, our kids walked in the footsteps of mammoths and mastodons. They learned the science and mechanics of photography and experienced the Civil War through living history interpreters. At first, this may seem like child's play, but it can often be the spark which ignites a lifelong love of learning and fosters the creativity needed for innovative young minds to grow and flourish. For 138 years, the Illinois State Museum has been a trusted source of knowledge and inspiration, a safe place for the exploration of ideas and experiences, and a vital partner for our entire community, but especially for the Boys and Girls Club. I know firsthand about the impact the museum can have on a child. Much like Representative Poe, I remember my own trips to the museum as a young boy from Macoupin County, and I too remember that buffalo. It was a place of wonder and amazement for curious youngsters like myself, and the only source for such comprehensive exhibits and the subject matter experts who could make them come to life. I carry these memories with me because they were so profoundly creative and inspiring. I implore the state and this commission to consider not just the dollars and cents impacted by the museum's closure, but also the children all throughout Central Illinois who rely on the museum as the most qualified institution for preserving Illinois history and sharing it with the people. Thank you.
And thank you. Thank you to the entire panel. Any comments or questions from any of our legislators up here?
Bad one. Dr. O'Gorman, spend some tourist dollars in Springfield while you're here, will you please?
I and my students do, yeah. Quite a few.
Any other comments for this group? If not, then we will move to the other members of the community organizations. Again, thank you all. And is there anyone else under community organizations left besides these two? Okay. Good.
Great. My name is Jen Walling, and I'm Executive Director of the Illinois Environmental Council. And today I'm testifying on behalf of my over 70 member organizations, and I especially want to include the Sierra Club, ELPC, Nature Conservancy, Open Lands, explicitly have asked me to testify on their behalf today. We all oppose the closure of the Illinois State Museums and ask the Commission to keep these important institutions open. These institutions have an incredibly important role in environmental education in the state, an area which has been cut in so many other places of our state agencies and state budgets. They provide in addition to environmental education, these museums are unique because they provide the only comprehensive collection programming and educational opportunities in the entire world on the importance of Illinois' natural resources. We spend a lot of time in Springfield advocating on behalf of protection of these natural resources, and our work depends on the people of Illinois understanding what's being protected and why it's important. State museums provide this education necessary. Museums also play an important role in understanding the history and lifestyle of people. Understanding how people lived and interacted with the land and environment through time helps us all to have a better understanding of the landscape we live in and the environmental consequences of the decisions that we make as Illinoisans. In addition, several state museums provide important connections with local conservation areas. Many of these are things that almost serve as public-private partnerships to the state. For example, the Dixon Mounds, providing tours and information about nearby Emequon, MWR, and Nature Conservancy Preserve, operated in some parts by a nonprofit. At this site and others, the museum is a critical part of the learning and viewing opportunity of these natural resources. As environmental organizations, we're concerned that this is the first step in closing downstate Illinois to conservation tourism opportunities. We're concerned. We worked very hard, as many of you know, on keeping DNR funded. We spent a lot of political capital on that, and it's our consideration that this is a part of that budget that we expected to be funded and think should be funded in the future. Thank you so much for taking our testimony today.
And thank you. Other panelists?
Hi, I'm Betsy Dollar. I'm the Executive Director at the Springfield Art Association. The Springfield Art Association is essentially a community visual art center, and we also run Edwards Place, which is the oldest home in Springfield and is a house museum. You heard from our curator, Erica, earlier. And she pointed out that the State Museum helps all of us who are smaller entities as a beacon and a director and a resource for all of the education that we are trying to bring to the Springfield community. I am an artist and an arts administrator. In my 5 years in Springfield, I have had the pleasure and opportunity of working in collaboration with the State Museum on 2 citywide exhibitions. The museum was the catalyst for these exhibitions that brought in all the other arts organizations, the Art Association, UIS, Lincoln Land, Prairie Art Alliance, Robert Morris Gallery when they were still in town, create strong exhibitions that drew thousands of viewers from not just Springfield, but the region to see exhibitions that worked in conjunction with a media or a concept. And we were able to expand on a single concept and make it interesting in a lot of different ways. And it was very exciting. You have heard from the testimony of an artist who is now a mayor who has transformed a city. Artists change communities. Artists bring a lot to every community. Artists volunteer more than any single group in any state in the nation. They revitalize communities. They bring creative ideas. If you drain the creative resources for artists, you're going to take away the people who can come up with the ideas to solve the problems that we're facing right now. The Illinois Artisans Program gives thousands of artists across the state opportunities to exhibit and sell and network and collaborate and gain commissions and generate income in this state. If those opportunities disappear, they are going to disappear, and you're going to lose the creative resources that are actually going to save your state. So I ask you to keep the State Museum as a core resource to artists throughout the state.
Thank you, Betsy. Any questions from our legislators here? Seeing none, we thank you. Again, excellent testimony. I believe that completes the community organizations category. Is that correct, or is there someone else in that category? If not, we'll move to other interested parties, and we'll start out, I guess we'll go 4 at a time. All, if you'd line up for other interested parties, and they're listed 1 through 4, come up first. If we don't, looks like we have 4 chairs filled, and the next 4 would be getting ready. So if you would introduce yourselves and begin.
My name is Chris Falillo, and this is a perfect segue from the previous speaker. I'm an independent musician, folklorist, and producer who has spent the last 39 years in rural West Central Illinois. I've twice served as the Illinois Scholar for the Smithsonian Institution's Traveling Exhibit on Roots Music, have worked with and produced events for the Illinois Arts Council, the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry, the Illinois Farm Bureau, and co-produced an award-winning nationally syndicated performance radio series from Macomb, Illinois. For the past 20 years, it has been my privilege to work in partnership with the staff of the Dixon Mounds branch of the Illinois State Museum. I've been producing the Hickory Ridge Concert Series. This once-a-month series brought acoustic music of all kinds to the drastically underserved audience of West Central Illinois. Dixon Mounds provided the space. I provided and produced the programming in a self-sustaining manner that cost the state of Illinois virtually nothing. The Dixon Mounds Museum Auditorium is handicap accessible with a capacity of 140. Assuming an average crowd of 75 over 20 years, that's about 18,000 audience members that have used and enjoyed the museum for this program alone. 18,000 people, many of whom are buying gas in Lewiston or Havana, eating at restaurants and cafes, some staying in motels for this program alone. I have also been able to create over 260 performance opportunities for almost exclusively Illinois artists. The ongoing success of the Hickory Ridge series is a direct result of our association with the museum. Our rural and largely elderly audience feels safe and comfortable coming to the museum, and the credibility afforded this series by the partnership allows me to attract performers of a significantly higher caliber than would otherwise be possible in rural West Central Illinois. The history of our state is one of our most precious natural resources and one that drives Illinois tourism. The Dixon Allen Museum is a rare and outstanding cultural resource in West Central Illinois. Closing this and the other state museums would be a serious mistake that would ultimately cost significantly more than it would save both financially and culturally. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next panelist.
Hi, my name is Carla Bailey Smith, and I am also an artist. I'm a mural artist. I live in Bloomington, and I'm a regular visitor to the Illinois State Museum, and the one thing that brings me back repeatedly is the changing art galleries on the top floor, and I have a son who is now just turned 9. And I bring him and I bring his friends, and I encourage other parents from Bloomington to come to the Illinois State Museum. And as far as a parent and child experience, I learn something new every time I go to the museum about the history of Illinois, cultural history and the geological history of Illinois. And as our children grow older, they learn something new every time they come as well. And I want to point out one more thing about the changing art in the building. The last time we went, which was just a few weeks ago, my son and his friend spent more time studying a series of posters in the ground floor that were depicting moments in Illinois history, and that's just such a valuable thing, and I hope that the museum does not close.
Thank you very much. Did your son want to make a comment?
Okay. I hope so. Okay.
My name is Kai Billy Smith. As she told you, anyway, what there's a reason I don't want this museum to close is because people come there to learn. Now, if people don't come there to learn, if the museum is closed, then people won't get to learn anything about Illinois in a playful way. The reason I like the Illinois State Museum is because I learn through playing. There are tons of places that you can learn about playing. There's an area about places about fossilized things from long, long ago. There's a movie theater. That's impressive. And there's a whole area downstairs where you can study feathers and stuff and icky stuff. And you can see your hand under a microscope. And that's something you don't get to see every day. So, and that's why I don't want this museum to close. Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. Karen?
I am the unluckiest person in this room. It's not fair. My name is Karen Witter, and I'm opposed to closing the Illinois State Museum. I had a long association with the museum in my 35 years in state government. As natural resources advisor to Governor Thompson when the branch facilities were opened, I was the director of the former Department of Energy and Natural Resources, which included the State Museum. When DNR was first created, I was responsible for oversight for the museum, and I served 14 years as associate director of the Illinois State Museum. I could speak extensively about the value of the museum, but I will focus on the significant adverse economic impacts which outweigh the estimated cost savings. The museum is a complex institution. It cannot be turned on and off like a light bulb. There will be ongoing costs to care for exhibits in the extensive collections, which require environmental controls and curatorial oversight. Building and grounds will need to be maintained. Additional costs will be incurred to return objects to lenders, notify extensive partners, lay off staff, and mothball operations. 35% of the museum's budget comes from external funds. Closure will put all of these funds at risk. Closure would destroy the ability to fulfill the terms of existing important research grants, which total about $1.5 million. The museum competes successfully for competitive grants and raises additional funds due to the reputation and qualifications of the staff. The most qualified staff will indeed leave, and the museum will not have the capacity to compete for these grants in the future. Closure would destroy, and already has destroyed, the trust of members, individual donors, foundations, and businesses that donate hundreds of thousands of dollars to support the museum. I helped raise private donations totaling over $1.2 million for the Play Museum, one of the most popular attractions. Closure would negate the ability to raise such contributions in the future, since donors will not trust the state to keep the museum open. The Artisans Program has given economic opportunity to nearly 3,000 artisans, and they say that their livelihood is a result and has been influenced by that. We know it's a major tourist attraction. The museum curates collections under formal agreements with federal agencies, and failure will result and most likely lead to costly litigation. Closing the museum, even temporarily, will begin a downward spiral. It will take decades to recover. I know the light's on. The Illinois State Museum is a 138-year-old institution. Will the governor and the General Assembly destroy the state's museum on the eve of the Illinois Bicentennial? And what would that say about Illinois? Clearly, this decision was not well thought out, and I commend the members of this commission for getting to the bottom of many issues. I could have spoken an hour. It's so much harder to speak for 2 minutes. If I could answer any questions of the commission on any of these issues that you've been talking about over the last 2 hours, I'd be happy to do so.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you. I have one question to the youngest member of the witnesses up there. How old are you?
Nine.
Thank you. I'm not going to ask the rest of your ages.
Thank you.
Slightly over nine. Any questions from the panel, from the legislators? If not, we thank you very much. Excellent testimony by all of you. Again, following other interested persons, the next four then, listed as 5 through 8. Do we have all of them here? Stephen, Cindy, Audrey, and Mary. If you would introduce yourselves and go ahead. Thank you for being here.
My name is Cindy Davis, and I'm a co-owner of a business in downtown Springfield and a former society board member of the Illinois State Museum. I served on the society board from 2009 to 2014, but the story with the Illinois State Museum begins far beyond that. I grew up in St. Louis. I moved here in 1977 with my husband, and we lived here a couple of years, and we went to the State Museum all the time. But when we moved back here in 1981, we decided to make it a habit. And we came with our children, and we came in freezing cold weather on the bus from the northwest side of Springfield. And we enjoyed it immensely. No one understands the value of the museum as much as a person who has seen the joy in the face of a child. You heard a child say something just a minute ago about what a wonderful learning experience it is when you can learn joyfully. And I agree with that entirely. As a bicentennial co-chair for the Abraham Lincoln 200th birthday, that's one of the roles that I held in this city. The museum cooperated in all of that. We had a museum exhibit on Abraham Lincoln, and it was a great 200th birthday celebration. What do you think Abraham Lincoln would think about closing this museum? That's another question. But I know that you all talk about dollars and cents, and it's an economic decision that you have to make. And I think the fee is a good idea, a small fee, to get us through these bad times. It's an economic and it's a tourism driver. There's a return on investment here, and I think you all need to understand that very, very seriously. Don't turn your back on the arts. This collection has been years in the making. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy.
I'm Dr. Audrey Ushenko. That sounds very pompous, but I guess I've got to give some kind of credentials. I don't know anything. I am a Chicago resident, but I teach for Indiana University. We're all shocked. I don't know anything about balancing the budget. I'm sure it's terribly, terribly difficult. But it's just like the university. We'd be a bit more impressed if we ever heard of any administrators freezing their salaries. I'm kind of wondering, you know, all the political administrators in the state, have they collectively cut their office and campaign staff from 60 to 3? Well, anyway, don't know anything about that. But if the State Museum is closed, it will tell us what kind of support, opportunities for the poor, the disadvantaged, the diverse populations, and the broad spectrum of the citizenry can expect from their leadership. The State Museum supports and promotes multicultural diversity. I'm going to speak more about Chicago than I am about Springfield, although the Springfield is a wonderful facility and I've seen how people enjoy it. But that system of museums, it's perhaps one of the few, if not the only, system of first-class museums making the rich heritage affordable on a regular basis to the majority of citizens in this state who are less than well-to-do. Now, if you charged a little bit of a fee, it would still not be crucial, but certainly people... I worked in the Thompson Center for 3 years under the aegis of the State Museum there, and people came and talked to me all the time. Lots and lots of people relied on that museum and the artisans to come and to bring their family. You can't imagine how heartening it was to people, young people, to see really wonderful, miraculous work by people of their ethnicity. But it wasn't just diversity, ethnic diversity, age, condition in life, gender. I see the red light going.
If you would, please.
So go ahead and close the State Museum, and we will see just how much the concepts of multicultural diversity and opportunities for the citizenry are prioritized. Thanks.
Thank you, Audrey. Mary?
Mm-hmm. My name is Mary Boastfer. I'm an ISM volunteer and also a member of the Illinois Artisan Program, and I'm here to express my reasons why the Illinois State Museum should remain open. I hope to bring a different perspective today by highlighting my personal experiences. The State Museum has been a large part of my life for almost 10 years. I joined the museum's Tech Academy program in 2005. This two-year after-school program met twice a week at the Research and Collection Center and taught students about the natural sciences and archaeology. This was done with talks from curators, hands-on projects, and tours of the collections. A large part of the program is also dedicated to learning about the computer sciences. This skill was invaluable for me because I had no prior experience with computers. During the summer of the program, we spent 2 weeks at the Center for American Archaeology in Campsville, Illinois, working at an archaeological site. After my two-year program ended, I returned as an intern for the next one-year program and then a teacher's assistant for the final year in 2009. As a homeschooler, this program contributed immensely to my education. Being a volunteer at the museum for several years now, I have helped with countless special events, summer camps, spring greeting, and was also part of the first group of volunteers to be trained for the Plain Museum when it opened in 2011. This has allowed me to see how children's lives are enriched by learning through play. During my time here, I have had the privilege of interacting with and teaching many wonderful people and families. This has helped me overcome my shyness, learn responsibility, and build social skills that I will always be able to use. When I started my own wood turning venture at age 15, I joined the Illinois Artisan Program.
This provided a great outlet to sell my work and participate in other artistic events. This helps me get established, and my small venture has since grown into a full-time, profitable business. In conclusion, the museum has helped make me the person I am today. I have made personal and professional relationships that I hope will last a lifetime. It would be a shame to see these opportunities denied to anyone else. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. You certainly gave a couple different perspectives, the homeschooling being one, and the added to the reinforcement on the artisans and home business. Any comments from any of our legislators? We thank you for being here. All your input's important. Next four who had pre-signed, I believe it is it Doran Jacobson, Samantha, and
Daniel,
Jacqueline. We're missing one. Who are we missing? Is it Samantha?
Nope, that's me.
Okay, must be the person. Is it Doran? Okay, we'll go.
Well,
thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us, and thank you guys for staying and letting us all come and talk to you. My name is Samantha Rice, and I actually come here for a variety of reasons. So I am a geology professor at Lincoln Land Community College, and every semester my students and I come and tour the Changes exhibit. This exhibit parallels my course material pretty much exactly, and it displays the things that I've talked about for the entire semester in a very real way for my students. After visiting the museum, my students all tell me that it was their favorite part of the class, and most of them tend to go back after having discovered such a gem that we have here in Springfield. My students' education is at risk if the museum is closed. Second, I come here as a volunteer. For over a year, I've been a volunteer at the museum, both as a docent and working with the children and the education staff. I've had the honor of leading after-hours museum tours in the dark, getting messy with fun science experiments, and mostly just seeing the joy on the faces of the children who get to spend time in such a magical place. These are educational experiences that cannot be replicated outside of this museum. Last but not least, I come here as a member of the grassroots community group that is working to save the Illinois State Museum. When I heard of the proposed closing, I am the one who started the petition in opposition of the closure. To date, we have more than 10,000 people who have signed the petition. Many have written heartfelt descriptions of why the museum is important to our communities and our state. A fellow community member started the Facebook page, which we talked about already, and has been reaching even greater numbers. Many of those visitors post incredible testimonials. Our group has also planned a rally here at the Capitol next Tuesday, and more than 600 people are planning to attend, at which point we will deliver the petition to the governor. My work with this grassroots group has shown me that the museum is a beloved institution and that people here in Illinois and all over the world care about deeply and want to preserve. I think that the people have spoken, and I hope that you please hear our voices and save the Illinois State Museum. Thank you.
Thank you. Next witness.
Hi. My name is Danielle Golder, and I live in Rochester with my husband and three daughters, and we have a small business there. I am here in opposition of closing the Illinois State Museum. I'm a photographer and a volunteer at the State Museum here in Springfield, as well as assisting with projects at the other four museum locations in the state. Thank you for this opportunity to address you. I came to the Illinois State Museum in 2008 as an undergraduate intern to assist with the exhibition commemorating the 1908 race riots. This exhibition was a way to educate the public about the atrocities that happened during this dark time in Springfield's history and to celebrate the progress we as a whole have made regarding the race relations since that time. Through this experience, I fell in love with the museum and its mission to preserve the past and educate the public in a fun and engaging way. After graduation, I was given the unique opportunity to continue my education as a photographer while giving back to the people of Illinois as a volunteer at the State Museum. I have also had the opportunity to work with other interns to assist with setting up exhibitions at the museum and also with community events associated with the museum. I appreciate the special relationship that the Illinois State Museum has with the local colleges and the opportunity it offers for the students to enrich their education through internships and volunteer opportunities. As this exposure has profoundly influenced my life, it has done the same for so many others. The Illinois State Museum influences the citizens of Illinois, as well as the United States and the world. The incredible collections preserved at these museums and the skilled and passionate employees and volunteers together make this institution an incredible asset to the state of Illinois. I am profoundly grateful to have had the opportunity to serve the people of Illinois, and I hope this institution continues to enrich the lives of countless people here and now and yet to come. I implore you to keep these educational assets open and fully functioning for the people and for the future. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Danielle. Is it Jacqueline?
Yes. My name is Jacqueline Ferguson, and I'm opposed to closing the museum systems. The museum provides invaluable information about Native Americans who once lived in Illinois through its exhibits, websites, and collections, and you've heard a lot about that today already. What I'd like to focus on here is a little-known but significant effect of the closure of the museum as it relates to the thousands of human remains and burial objects housed by the museum. Closing the museum prevents the ability of tribes to consult on the disposition of these remains and objects through the Federal Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, known as NAGPRA. I can assure you, this is of great concern to the tribes who once lived here, the Peoria, the Potawatomi, the Kickapoo, the Sac and Fox, the Winnebago Ho-Chunk, and the Miami. The state of Illinois cannot ignore its NAGPRA responsibilities, and three people are not going to cut it. If tribes don't have timely access to consultation under NAGPRA, costly fines and lawsuits can be assessed against the state of Illinois, which would probably erase any savings the state would hope to achieve by closing the museum. DNR, through the ISM, has contractually agreed to preserve, protect, and display tribally owned artifacts that have been repatriated to them. And they trust us to keep our end of that bargain. Closing the Illinois State Museum is an assault on Native American heritage and a violation of the agreement, which would be yet another broken promise on the long road of broken promises to American Indians. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. In our second group, Stephen, is it LeMay? Should have been in, was certainly welcome. Is Stephen here? Is that you? Would you want to come up and make your comments now, and then you were part of the second group. And my apologies for not calling your name.
Okay. I'm a verbal historian. Sorry, I don't like pen and ink. I had a Chicago education and still can't spell. And that's not funny. I'm sorry. But it's true. I've been a fossil collector since I was a little kid. Matter of fact, by the time I was 10, it was in a brown paper bag. By 13, I found out from the Field Museum that snails were rare, so I kept collecting snails. And that was my first time to Maison Creek, was February 13th of 65. So this year is my 50th anniversary of Maison Creek. But because of me hunting for this little beast that's now our Illinois state fossil, that I ended up finding the first fossil lamprey in geological history. And it was named in my honor by the time I was 16. And by the time I was a junior and senior in high school, I became the first high school student in the United States to work at a museum under a high school work program and get paid by the National Science Foundation. And I was preparator, because in 13, that's how the Field Museum met me, because I wanted to clean my trilobites, and they had the equipment and a microscope that I could not afford. So museums are important, and you shutting the Illinois State Museum, which is the museum in charge of Illinois antiquities. I'm also the person that that changed the antiquity law from 50,000 years all the way to the beginning of time. I'm the only resident of the state of Illinois that wanted the state to change that law. And believe me, I had a lot of people didn't like me, even people in other states. And I told them, had we had this law, we would not have a nuclear atomic power station sitting on Braidwood, Illinois, which is actually Site B. They wanted to put it in LaSalle County, but the farmers said we had one and that was enough. I've seen the document. It actually said that. So all these discoveries, because of this beast, we now have all kinds of new animals and life forms. But where do I donate all the animals that I still own in my possession that I've recently discovered in the past 40 years, in the past 10 years even? There's a whole new class of crustacean that got named only 30 years ago. I have 5 new ones from Starved Rock alone that aren't even published, and I'm trying to go to Ohio. And now all these other museums want me to donate there when I want to donate here, and how can I donate here when there's no museum if you don't keep it open?
And Stephen, could you bring your comments to a close, please?
Okay. So we need this museum open, and we need more standards, because Maison Creek is one of the top 3 major fossil locations of the Earth for over 150 years. So how can we not have a state museum that has something to do with Maison Creek? I'm the person that keeps saving face for the museum and identifies for them and provides them with material.
Thank you very much. I'm glad we went back to pick up. I learned a lot about from history there. So thank you. Any questions from legislators? Representative Necklace.
Ms. Ferguson, I know you've been in touch with the members of the panel. Does the Department of Natural Resources or the director, are they aware of the federal law that you're concerned with?
I don't know what he knows. Sorry.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, we thank this panel. Thank you. The next 4 who are pre-registered starts with Sam, David, Catherine, and Jane. And I know that we have Sam there. We must have David there. Is it Catherine? Or are you Jane? So is Catherine Harris here? Catherine Harris? Okay. Thank you. So, Sam, do you want to lead off?
Good evening. Thank you, members of the commission, for staying here to listen so late to listen to all these witnesses. I'm Sam Canman. For the past 12 years, I served on the Springfield City Council and the Sangamon County Board. I was honored that the area I represented included 2 of the world's best museums, the Illinois State Museum and the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum. The Abraham Lincoln Museum costs money, and most of my former constituents and the people all around here have gone to it once. The Illinois State Museum is free, and many people around here have gone back to it again and again and again. I'm also a lawyer who has had to represent far too many clients in bitter custody battles. And the Illinois State Museum, especially its fantastic play museum, is a safe place where many of these parents can take their kids to learn and have fun. In his campaign for the office, Governor Rauner promised to improve education. In his actions as governor, he showed his emphasis on education when the only appropriation bill he signed was the one for primary education. One of the prime functions of the museum is education, so closing it would be totally counter to the governor's efforts to improve education. Unless you visited the Illinois State Museum or studied paleontology, who knew that elephant-like creatures once roamed our state? And who knew that some bald cypress trees in southern Illinois are more than 1,000 years old? And who knew that the first director of the museum was a neighbor of Abraham Lincoln? Recently, a new process was developed to study the ancient DNA in the prehistoric bones the museum has. Now, who knows what new and better methods will be developed in the future, but we won't be able to use them if we don't have those bones. The museum goes back millions and millions of years. It is our heritage. But my opinion, closing it is much more about our future than our past. 8-year-old Teresa Vincent wrote in the State Journal Register yesterday that the museum inspired her love for science. And we heard many other child who testified the same thing, and many adults said that they were so inspired when they were kids. How many future kids are we going to slam the door on by shutting down this gem? Members of the Commission, I urge the Commission to recommend against closure of the Illinois State Museum and its related facilities, and also the Vinegar Hill Neighborhood Association, which the museum sits in, passed a measure recently opposing closure. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Sure.
David?
I want to say thanks to the committee for this opportunity to testify on behalf of the ISM. My name is David L. Morgan, and I oppose closing the Illinois State Museum. As a teacher in District 186, fourth graders, parent, and volunteer, I can testify to the tremendous value of this exceptional resource. Please don't close this treasure. I am grateful to the museum staff for their years of professional service to the museum and this community. They go above and beyond in many ways. They are truly gracious professionals. In the past, they have tailored presentations geared to my students on art, earthquakes, and Native Americans, among others. My students have excelled and grown with the help of the excellent educators and staff of the Illinois State Museum. I have been a patron of the museum for many years, and it wonderfully captures the history and natural beauty of our great state. As a parent, I have spent many hours with my two children visiting the displays and touring the halls of the museum. One of my favorite activities to do with my own kids after a visit to the museum was to play a game in the car on the way home called What Did You Learn? We would take turns sharing facts we had culled from our time at the museum and work to be the last person to share something new we had learned. I was so very proud of my kids when they beat me at this game. My two children have both visited the museum as patrons, participated in special events put on by the museum staff, and have volunteered with me for special events. It would be a gutting experience for me not to have this resource available for my family and other families here in Springfield. As a fourth grade teacher here in Springfield, I can attest to the outstanding educational benefits associated with the museum. The quality of the exhibits, the knowledgeable and expert staff, and the wonderful experience of visiting the museum have benefited my students greatly over the years. The museum is an excellent resource for me as a teacher and for my students as well. The museum has a great depth of information to help students learn about the history of our state and so much more. The high quality displays and the broad and engaging scope of the material help students understand our history in a way that textbooks can't match. As our students strive to meet the challenges of the new Common Core and the associated PARC tests, it is my belief that the museum will grow in importance as a resource for educators. The increasing emphasis being placed on critical analysis and thinking skills will require educators to find in-depth and engaging materials for students to work with and to master. The museum is an outstanding resource for teachers to use as we strive to prepare our students for the future. Thank you for your consideration. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. And I believe it's Jane, is that right?
Members of the Commission, colleagues, and guests, good evening. I'm Jane Bykstra, Regents Professor of Bioarchaeology at Arizona State University. I'm also a member of the National Academy of Sciences, a board member of the Smithsonian Institution's National Museum of Natural History, and a trustee of the American School of Classical Studies in Athens. I therefore bring you a perspective developed in research, education, and outreach informed regionally, nationally, and internationally. I urge the Commission to oppose closing the Illinois State Museum due to the ISM status as a leading natural history museum whose impact upon the citizens of Illinois is profound and with a well-deserved reputation for excellence across the U.S. and beyond. I also represent as president the Center for American Archaeology, or CAA, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization centered in Campsville, Illinois. The CAA is particularly troubled that your plans to close the ISM will violate a legal document, Memorandum of Understanding, between the CAA and the ISM. Funded by a prestigious federal Save America's Treasures grant, the CAA has transferred over 9,500 boxes of systematic regional archaeological collections to the ISM. The ISMCA agreement stipulated that the ISM agreed to accession these collections, to provide for their long-term curation and management, making them accessible for scholarly and educational purposes. In addition, as part of the ongoing CAA-ISM collaboration, the ISM is partnered to a 2015 to 2018 National Science Foundation Research Experiences for Undergraduates grant. This unique program provides interdisciplinary, innovative STEM research experiences for undergraduate students. ISM facilities, research staff, and the CAA collections housed at the ISM play a significant, irreplaceable role in the execution of this program. Closure of the ISM would therefore violate the terms of both the federal NSF grant and the CAA-ISM Memorandum of Understanding. I therefore, both personally and as a representative of the CAA, urge the Commission to issue a finding against closure of the Illinois State Museum. To do otherwise would call into question the judgment of Illinois' elected and appointed officials at a global scale.
Thank you, Jane. Any legislators have questions? If not, we thank you all for your testimony. Again, excellent. Okay, next, the final of the group that had pre-registered, Susan and Victoria, Dana. Dana's not here. Okay. Yeah, Patricia Miller. Okay, if you'd go ahead and introduce yourselves.
My name is Susan.
Is your microphone on?
Good evening. My name is Susan Rhodes, and I am opposed to the closing of the museum sites. During the last 9 years of my 35 years as an educator, I was the principal of Isles Gifted Magnet School here in Springfield. It grew from 240 to 450 students in grades 1 through 8. Our students need an enriched curriculum. Our district does not have enough money to provide Isles with those resources. The museum has been a source to fill that void. With a large percentage of properties that belong to the federal and state government, Springfield Public Schools have always been at a disadvantage for collecting property tax in the same manner as other Illinois cities. The museum has provided a small concession to this funding inequality by providing amazing opportunities for our educators, students, and parents throughout the year. Many people are surprised by the reality that when you calculate the time a student spends in the classroom over 365 days, it computes to a mere 10%. The museum provides educational opportunities for both the 10% of a student's time in the school and the remaining 90%. Isles School is in the reauthorization process of retaining its accreditation as one of 474 international baccalaureate schools in the United States. The museum has been a partner in providing the essential resources to develop units of inquiry for Isles students. Being an IB-authorized school has been an attraction for parents to move and work in Springfield. With the majority of our district students eligible for free and reduced lunches, it is imperative to provide programs of excellence in order to attract highly qualified employees to the city and Illinois. We are proud of the museum for us being an accredited museum. The unfortunate reality is that when Illinois is compared to other states in this nation in areas other than hockey, we are often at the bottom of the list. Illinois is one of 7 states that provides no funding nor mandate for gifted education. Poor gifted students depend on public schools and the museum for stimulation. With the current Illinois school funding formula, downstate and rural schools are losers. Those same students lose again with the closing of the museum. We need to inspire private citizens to invest in the future of Illinois. Now is the time to highlight the museum as one of our gems and work towards additional investments to fully utilize technology to make its resources more available to its citizens throughout the state. We need to spend more energies in being visionary and looking at how to further support our programs of excellence. We need to invest in our state so our children want to stay and work in Illinois.
Thank you, Susan. Victoria?
Thank you, Chairman Trotter and Chairman Moffitt, members of the Commission. My name is Victoria Ringer. I'm the Executive Director of Downtown Springfield Incorporated and Illinois Main Street Community. I'm here to testify in support of the Illinois State Museum, its programs, employees, and patrons, and ask that you do not close this outstanding caretaker of Illinois history. The Illinois State Museum is not just a state facility. It's a vital part of the Springfield community and Illinois' history. A place to take your kids on a rainy Saturday, a date on second Fridays, or a field trip for a group of young students who just want to know about bugs. The Illinois State Museum is an integral part of the Illinois and Springfield story. They are partners in our cultural, economic, and preservation family here in our community. They creatively cross-promote local retail, not-for-profits, and community organizations to help our community stay strong and vital. Much like any Springfield business, the Illinois State Museums purchase and hire locally, pumping nearly $9 million into their local economies. The historic sites, museums, and state entities compete for the entertainment dollar just like any other business. Over the past several years, the Illinois State Museum has developed and created extremely innovative programming that competes with any interactive big money multimedia. They continue to work with less and keep bringing more to the table for their patrons and visitors. Springfield has over 1 million visitors annually, and when they have finished touring the traditional Lincoln sites, there are still a day or more of extraordinary places to visit that will enhance their visit to Illinois and our city. The Illinois State Museum is one of those places. They not only teach our community, but they teach the world and make them want to know more. From an economic standpoint, when that visitor extends their stay one more night, it's good for Illinois. It's huge for Illinois. As a business and community organization, we are honored and proud that daycares, senior groups, artists, red hats, wild-eyed teens, and world visitors yearn for more knowledge about Illinois, and the Illinois State Museum is where they go. Please consider the great work that is being done on behalf of our state by this world-class facility. The Illinois State Museum is a genuine guardian of Illinois' great history and artifacts and should not be closed. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Patricia?
Thank you. Thank you, members of the commission. My name is Patricia Miller. I'm the executive director of the Illinois Heritage Association. From a purely fiscal perspective, closing the Illinois State Museum doesn't appear to be cost-effective. There will be costs involved in shutting the facilities. One has to assume that at least some part of the museum and galleries will be slated for reopening at a later date. To do otherwise would mean even larger expenditures of funds to deaccession and dispose of collections. If the facilities are later reopened to the public, there will be additional cost to that. On the other hand, why should the Illinois State Museum remain open? The principal reason is to serve the public. The State Museum is a highly respected educational agency. It fulfills four goals that museums strive for: to collect, preserve, research, and interpret objects that aid us to understand our world. The ISM is an accredited museum and is a leader in the museum field. As the director of a statewide service organization for museums, I urge you not to close this valuable state asset. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Any questions for these three witnesses from legislators? Thank you for being here. Excellent testimony as the rest. Real quick, it's been excellent. We've been here, three and a half hours of testimony, I believe. Some of you, of course, were here before we started, obviously, we're getting close to 4 hours. Thank you all for your participation. We have six witness slips that were filled out today. You were not pre-registered. I don't know if they're all still here. They will be read into the record. You will be listed as a witness and your position, which is, I think they're all checked opposed. Of those six, I can read their name just because I think in a democracy, if you came and took your time, you should have the right to speak. Of those six that filled out slips and haven't spoke, do any of you want to come forward? Do you want me to read the names? Joanne Ivy Conrad, Thomas Whalen, come on up to the table. Laurel Ashcraft. Mark, is it Flater? Mike Miller and Leanne Dipachak. If you filled out a slip and I didn't read your name, would you come up and identify yourself? But again, please observe the 2 minutes. Was there anyone else? Your witness slips will be read into the record. Okay, then identify yourself and watch the timer light. Thank
Hello.
You.
Hello, is this on? Okay. My name is Mike Miller. Thank you for hearing my comments today. I am the chair of the Art, Music, and Theater Department at the University of Illinois Springfield, and I wanted to just represent that group that has interaction with the Illinois State Museum. I've been at the University of Illinois Springfield for 13 years. I've worked with numerous groups at the Illinois State Museum. I take my classes there on a routine basis. We do a professional skills class. The staff of the museum graciously takes time and spends it with us and talks about careers in the arts. I really think that maybe that's something I want to touch on, is just the quality of the staff at this institution is phenomenal. You've heard how they reach out to so many different constituencies in the community, and I just want to say that they also reach out to the local higher education community in a meaningful way, and to artists. And so I want to speak to those two things very quickly. I have had also the privilege of working with colleagues of mine at Emequon. UIS maintains the Thirkleton Field Station at Emequon, and we have relationship out there, and that relationship is, and especially the educational mission of that activity is so, it's so critical, the relationship that we have with Dixon Mounds and the staff out there. So they've been phenomenal, and it's really an enlightening moment for students when they come in contact with the collection at Dixon Mounds. So I wanted to note that. Numerous colleagues of mine do research using the collections at the Illinois State Museum collection facility. We've presented scholarly research there. We're intensely interested in the scholarship that the researchers at that institution do. This is really such, we've heard about what a gem this institution is, but for scholars, for researchers, for intellectuals in this community, the Illinois State Museum is a phenomenal resource. We cannot afford to lose it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Joanne Conrad. I'm a graduate from the universities here in Illinois.
Would you state your name again?
Joanne Conrad, Joanne I.D. Conrad.
Thank you.
I'm a graduate with a master's degree in specialized education. I woke up this morning at about 6 o'clock and got to camp where I teach children with autism like I have full-time for the last 30 years. When we bring children from Hope School and other private schools, I also do consulting to the Illinois State Museum system across the state. We see skills generalize. When I see the attacks on education in this state, it embarrasses me. My father lives in San Diego. We are from Brooklyn in the projects. He took me to museums as a child, and he says, "What the heck's going on in your state? What we hear is not good. Those politicians all go to jail. And what is going on?" And I have to tell him, "Dad, I fought like heck for my pension, and I apologize if I got passionate. But I need to tell you, we are all on the autism spectrum. We really are. And when I'm passionate about an issue, I cannot be quiet. When I see oil wells, not tax, state oil wells, little mom and dad grasshoppers, no money coming into the state on them, I get angry. I'm sorry. My dad took me to museums as a child because at the age of 2 I talked, and then all of a sudden I stopped talking. I stopped talking. Can you believe it? Dad brought me to all the best museums. I came out of my shell, and I've been fighting like heck to make people realize that education is what makes us who we are. And it is a trick of the 1% to destroy culture, like they have been doing for centuries, even in China. It is one of the world's best known ways to destroy a culture. So
so the corporates can keep it. And that's wrong. And where am I going to give my picture of John Brown by Charles White, a lithograph, worth over $10,000 when I die? I wake up, I look at his picture in the morning, and I say, I might be crazy, but I'm a fighter, and I'm not going to give up, and you shouldn't either. We are not bargaining chips. Thank you.
Thank you. Any of our legislators up here have any concluding comments? Senator?
The question I have is more procedural. Dan, maybe the staff could look at this, but when we make a recommendation, I know to Representative Eunice's question about breaking this out in terms of facilities that are under 25, why can't we take the whole group as the ISM and make a recommendation on that?
It has to do with the law, and the law is very clear that it applies to facilities of 25 or more employees. So, we heard testimony about it. I think you can talk collectively about it, but the only one that has more than 25 employees is the State Museum itself.
Well, then, co-chairs, I would recommend that we have at least if it's a non-binding vote, that we also take it on the other facilities so that we make our intentions very clear on all the facilities.
There was a bill several years ago to have it apply. Even there's just one employee. That bill didn't pass. They thought 25 was where it should be, and so that's we're just following the law. But your point's well taken.
Yeah, I understand.
Just for that was Dan Long, who's executive director of Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability. Probably most of you know him, but that was who just answered the question in terms of following statute and where we're at on that. We certainly can express our thoughts, how we look at it, but obviously we have to comply with the law.
Can I follow up?
Sure. Right. Representative Necris is waiting too. Do you want to?
No.
Oh, follow up to that.
Well, mine is, this is the statute now, is that what you're saying? So, that being the case, so we made the law. Can we change the law? Can we amend that?
Absolutely.
So it is amendable going forward.
Set it wherever you want.
There could be an effective date issue and things like that, technicalities.
Okay. Representative Necris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to express, I don't know that there's anybody still left here from the Department of Natural Resources. So I just wanted to express, I think in previous times when we've done these hearings, the department, someone from the department has stayed to listen to all the testimony, and was especially with a lot, I think it really got some really good input, and I just want to express my disappointment that they did not see fit to stay here and listen to the testimony.
Any other comments from legislators? Any other old business or new business? I do have one announcement, and it's regarding future facility closure hearing. Hardin County Work Camp, Hardin County High School in Elizabethtown, July 20th. Of course, it would be a week from today at 2 p.m. And that's where our next meeting will be held. If there are no other comments, Senator Trotter for closing comment, and then we'll adjourn.
I believe we had a good meeting.
Thank you. And all the time you put in, thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn? Move, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.